This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Blood vs. Water. I'm your host Shannon Gus, here to talk about week 9, the penultimate week. We are down to the final 5, 2 episodes next week, and we're going to be breaking it all down. And to do that, I have such an incredible guest. He was a standout from US Survivor Season 41, but more importantly, he is a Chizzy winner. He is technically the reigning Chizzy winner, although we've passed the torch already in the season. That wasn't meant to happen. Ricard's going to have to do the passing of the mug in this podcast, but it is the great Ricard Foyer. Ricard, thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I've followed you for so long. I've been excited and we've communicated so much, but to actually talk, it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's how I feel, but more, obviously, because I get to talk to you, which is way more of a thrill than you getting to talk to me. We are so honored to have you on the podcast for a few reasons. The first being, you're in Mexico right now. You had a family wedding. You are so busy and you've made time for us. Like, I just want the listeners to know, like, how grateful we should be to have you here.
It has been wild. Like, my husband and I have been trying to balance. He's giving a presentation on his thesis that he did years ago for his master's program. So he's been doing Zoom calls on this trip as well. I've been doing my podcast, Drop Your Buffs. And I just did an interview with Sam Gash yesterday. And so now I'm like, we have been nonstop working in Mexico while being sick, while having children.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because that's what I was saying to you a little bit offline was that, so before this season, we thought it was going to be on Paramount Plus, it wasn't. Obviously, yeah. There was a whole rigmarole with that. Sandra was on it. You know, a lot of excitement about, like, Survivor being on and kind of, like, bring, you know, over from last year. And so many past players, Australian and American, were like, we're going to cover the season. I was like, all right, so it's a big field, you know. And by week 2, everyone had kind of, like, dropped off. Sandra wasn't even out yet. And barely anyone even made it to week 1, let alone week 2. But you have stuck, as you're saying, with Drop Your Buffs. You've been covering it every week. I'm so impressed. Australian Survivor is so much content. And genuinely, like, the fact that you're here in week 9 to talk about it and doing your own interviews and recaps, like, well done to you, because absolutely, you, like the whole field was cleared except you.
It's wild. I mean, first of all, if I commit to something, I'm going to be all in.
Clearly.
But I definitely, I can understand it from two different ways. There's one where I just love Australian Survivor, and whether you have a good season or a bad season, I'm going to be all in. I'm going to not finish a season or be dedicated to the second that it's available online, no matter how I get it, no comment on how I get it, but I'm going to be watching it. But I do understand if you're not really into how an edit is or gameplay and you're just kind of a casual viewer, I understand dropping off at some point because you're not getting the exciting big moves all the time that you want. And with this season, I feel like there's actually pretty good, solid, safe gameplay, but it's not as exciting all the time. People were very frustrated with, you know, the majority alliance, with so many people just having each other's backs when it seemed very questionable. Like, why aren't these duos going after each other? Why is Chrissy going along with Mark and Sam and Jordy and Josh and Jordan? Why are we doing all of this? But they were actually, in my opinion, making the safe, correct moves for this season, which is less exciting for some viewers. So I understand why people are like, okay, I'm bored, whatever. But I don't know. I still love it. I think it's a great, great season. I truly do. It has not lulled for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard because Australian Survivor is so much content. So if you get a couple of episodes that lull and maybe US Survivor, it's like, all right, well, that took up like an hour and a half of my life. Mm-hmm. In this season, there actually have been, I think, like big, big moments happening amongst that. Like even in the stability and purgatory week was hell on earth for us all, ironically. But like you did have like compelling stuff at the merge. It was dark, but it was compelling. You did have Sam take the idol. We did have then, you know, Sam got turned on last week, and I thought this week was really interesting with some voting blocks that were kind of shifting some interesting stuff. But then throughout that, if there's some consistency, it is like hours and hours, and it can be hard to get through. And I know we'll talk about the editors. We will continue to. People have had issues with that. So some things haven't popped. I've definitely been higher on it than most, and you love the season. So that's great, because, again, really it's always great to come in with that positivity when we can.
Yes. I really do. And just for clarity or transparency, I am nervous to recap in a space that I am not in control. So if I stutter or get nervous, no. I'm like, woo! I've only ever been asked about my season and been like interrogated. But I've never been interrogated about other people's gameplay, except for my best friend, Sean, who I do drop your buffs with. So it's just going to be me a little nervous.
No. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing to get your takes. I mean, can you tell the listeners, what's your history with Australian Survivor before this?
So Australian Survivor, I've watched season 2, 4, Brains and Brawn, and now this new season, 7. I did not watch the original two seasons, and I'm about to start All-Stars.
Good luck.
I know. I guess Sam gave me a little bit of a spoiler, aka the winner, yesterday. Oh. I had a feeling. You know, I can't hide from everything on social media, and I blame no one for talking about something years after it's been shown. So it is totally fine. But yeah, I was never very computer savvy with figuring out how to find these things, the Facebook groups. I'm just not really into all that. I'm into posting selfies of myself shirtless and tweeting my opinions. That's all I do online. I've never, you know, gone searching for episodes. But now when Paramount Plus brought it on, I had already watched 2 of the seasons. And I was really excited to just steamroll through all of them because it felt very authentic to old school American Survivor. I was very, very thrilled, but with a modern take of not being, you know, as cringy with some of the cultural appropriation things and some of the insensitivities towards different cultures. I was really, really excited for old school meeting new school with Australian Survivor. And it was a pretty big bummer for Paramount Plus to take it down so abruptly.
Yeah, that was horrible for everyone. That was really unfortunate. They never brought it back. We're really hoping that that does get resolved. But I'll be interested in your takes as you work through the seasons you haven't seen, 1, 3, and All-Stars, because I think next week when we are having a conversation in the finale podcast about where the season sits, it'll be in that bottom half of those seasons. Like, you've seen what we would rank in the top half. So I'm interested to see, because you love this season, how some of those others rank, because they have... Well, even the great seasons can have similar problems, which can be like big editing holes. And a lot of those lower ranked seasons do have, as we're saying, kind of that time waiting for things to happen. So I'm interested to see, you know, what you think about that comparatively. But in terms of this season, as you said, you're doing Drop Your Buffs every week, you're podcasting about it. What did you think about this week? Because I thought, like, you know, coming off a huge week, week 8, Sam gets turned on, everything is broken open. Like, I was really fascinated by the dynamics of this week.
You know, it was both really exciting, but a little anticlimactic with Jordy, because it just didn't end the way I thought it would. I was a little confused by the way Jordy left. I was confused, not confused, like, I'm baffled by this, but the Jordy edit of, you know, him voting for Shay, there were just little things that caught me very off guard, that the edit made me feel a certain way, but that wasn't the way the actual content went. And so it was still a great week. You know, Juicy made it far. I love Juicy. I love me some Juicy. But mm-hmm. I'm glad he didn't win. I didn't want him to win. Not that it's fair. I would love to see Chrissy win, so I'm not even consistent with saying that the fan of the duos, I don't want to win. But I didn't want someone that was so disconnected, and he was there for his daughter, who she was the real fan. I just didn't want him to win for some reason. Jordy, I really didn't want to win.
Oh, wow. Okay. Not a Jordy fan.
I'm not. And, you know, at first I thought, you know what? He's playing a phenomenal game. But I'm being biased because I love Sam and Mark. And, you know, I'm only bitter at him because he's coming for my favorites. And so I tried to put that out of my mind and be like, you know what? Jordy's playing a pretty solid game. He actually gave a pretty thorough rundown of his resume on his Voto episode. And I was like, yeah, you have done some really great, impressive things. You've done very well. I still want to say it's the best game of all of the players. I don't agree with that. And then I started to realize, actually, it's not the fact that he's against Sam and Mark that I want him gone. I just don't like his demeanor on the show. I don't like when people create the content for the show to depict them a certain way. Calling yourself the Joker over and over and over again. I don't like the little shticks. And that's just me. I don't like them. I don't like songs. I don't like little things that people come up with.
Yeah, we might sing on this podcast. So.
But yeah, you know, I just love to hear people's authentic feelings in the game during their confessionals, during their walks. And I just didn't really get that with Jordy for some reason. Who knows? I could be totally off base with who he is as a human, but those are my feelings on what I see on the screen.
Yeah, it's hard with Australian Survivor when they want you to do the shtick. Like, they want you to do the gimmick, and everyone's got a nickname. And then you talk to these people in real life, like, you know, had Harry on the podcast last week, had an exit interview with Jordy, and they are just, like, these regular people. But in that environment, you have to, like, get up to the gimmick pretty much, and you're always at risk of being purple. So it's pretty much one or two options, and maybe you get, like, an authentic complex edit. And even then, like with Sam, we got parts of that, and they make it more extreme. They round out those edges every time. So I put more of that on the show. For me with Jordy, I mean, I really like Jordy. I think that for me, it wasn't even how much he was doing, because he pulled little off. Every week I'm like, I really love his vigor, but like, can we actually have something work? For me, it was the approach and the demeanor that I liked. It was always trying. It was never saying die. Things like bidding in the auction for The Rock, like always giving everything. And even in the Shay vote, like it took a while to understand it because the edit was mis-selling it to us for sure. But he literally is then realizing 100% correct read, he is gone, going with a 100th option to go to Mark and say, we have some mutual ground here. I don't want to go home. You shouldn't want to flush the idol. Can we do something? I don't know who else he thought was going to be on that plan, but he's trying something.
Yes.
And that's what I liked about it. And it's not just that he was always trying. I love the sportsmanship. I loved him, you know, shaking hands with Dave at the tie, for example, and the way that he went out. And there's more of it on Jury Villa where he walks out and he's like, oh, Redemption Rock. And Jonathan's like, oh, that's the wrong season. You're going to purgatory. Like, the jokingness of it more than the Joker, kind of like the kindness in the battle, the fact that I asked him about, you know, trying to come up against the idol life for so long. And he was like, I was laughing at how ridiculous it was. Like, for me, that fun of it beyond the shtick is what I really enjoyed about Jordy. Mm-hmm.
I see. I get you.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit sad. He had a big week, though, I will say, before he went. And we had a lot of questions about this first vote. And I thought this first vote was really interesting because it was a 3-2-2, with an idol being flushed, with the choice between what we were given as two different threats in Jordy and Dave, who is now a threat because he made like a couple of good moves last week. And he genuinely did make a couple of good moves. Now he's super threatening. KJ is flipping on the revote. So there's a lot happening. And I know we had a lot of questions about this. Like, obviously Josh, that's obvious. Like, he's flushing the vote and voting out Dave. Shay, he's flushing the idol. She's flushing the idol as well and voting out Dave. Jordy's doing the same thing. And then Dave is obviously just coming for Jordy the whole time. But then we had questions about like KJ flipping, Chrissy votes for Jordy and then Dave, and Mark's voting for Dave. So we had a lot of questions on those votes. Did you have any like major takeaways on what you had thought had happened at that vote afterwards?
You know, I feel like with KJ, I thought that she just went with what she thought would be the most likely thing. I don't think she really cared whether it be Jordy or Dave. I think she just kind of went with the flow. Mark makes so much sense to me to go for Juicy when he feels like he doesn't have the numbers to get out Jordy at that time. Josh is all over the place. Josh is very inconsistent, it seems, with the edit. But then he still voted with Mark. It's really hard to get a feel for how these people actually feel. And I'm just pretty baffled by it. I actually don't have a ton of input for this particular vote because I'm a little confused myself.
I have some,
mostly with Chrissy. I don't understand that one.
Well, I try to pull out theories from nowhere. So in terms, okay, let's start with Chrissy because we had questions about it. So Chrissy votes for Jordy and then Dave. My assumption is that she never broke from Josh because the vote for Jordy is obviously going against Josh and Josh's plan. And we know that they are the tightest pair that is left in the game. My assumption is that when Josh comes to her and is like, we've done this together, we're going to split the vote. I think he's put Chrissy's vote on Jordy because that's trademark Josh to double split against two idols. The only weird thing about it was that it wasn't on KJ. I think that's the only reason we're confused. It wasn't one vote on KJ. It was one vote on Jordy. I don't see Chrissy as ever departing from Josh's plan or flipping from it and then flipping back to Dave. And then when she says, like, I could be in trouble for this when voting for Dave, possibly it's that now her true allegiance is revealed. If she voted for Jordy, maybe she could make it look to someone like KJ that she was always in kind of against Jordy on that non-reward plan. So if I'm going to start by answering one question about the confusion, I would think that's what's happening with Chrissy.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
It's a theory taken from nowhere. But as you know, as someone who listened to me while you were on the show, I just throw things out and like 30% of the time I hit. And that's the point of the podcast.
You have some phenomenal takes where I remember being like, she gets me. Yes, that's what it was. And I can't say anything.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's okay. That's Chrissy. In terms of KJ, we'll talk about it. Hers is clear. It's just maybe a little bit more confusing. So she does flush the idol. She votes for Mark and they're all put on that vote and we'll talk about the split on that. And then she flips to Jordy. She's on the non-reward plan. We see that being spoken about with her and Dave and her and Mark. This is a lot from KJ for me because the crazy thing is, had KJ wanted Jordy out, which she goes with on the revote, it's a 3-2-2. She can do it. If she votes with Jordy on the first vote, they risk Mark not flushing the idol because it's not a majority on him. But Jordy's gone home. So she's actually flipped in the revote. And I don't mind that from KJ because KJ kind of knows she has space to move. No one's targeting her. She really well vocalizes that the men absolutely are only coming for each other and that they can kind of sneak through. And I love that vocalization and that read and that plan. So she has space to move. And kind of as long as any of the guys are going out, it's probably fine for her. But for me, to flip in the middle of the vote, again, big swings, but you do you. You have space. But it's the read that no one else goes with it. And then awkwardly, like she flipped on her ally, which she gets done in the next episode, but no one else had done it. Like that misread for me is the miss. But I don't mind her taking swings as long as it has the basis of that good read.
I'm curious if she's like the only one who actually did have the correct, I guess not the read of the room or the tribal council, but following through with the plan, because we can only assume that she's being honest. When she goes up to Jordy and says, I thought that was the plan. That's what had been told to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming they had discussed the idea of a tie. And, you know, she maybe prioritized Mark and his idol way more threatening, way more important to get rid of the idol than to get rid of Jordy, even though I'm over Jordy. I'm over that alliance. The redemption thing is done. Or not redemption. Purgatory 3 is done.
Pretty much redemption.
And then, and then, you know, now that she's done her duty, but maybe the actual human being she wanted gone, Jordy, Mark had brought it up to her earlier in the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with this because this must be what everyone's going to do. She just must not have the social capital to be privy to the idea that Juicy is who Mark really wanted. But I think she was actually following through with Mark's plan. I really do.
Mm. It makes a lot of sense because, so on the people on the revote, so she thinks that like Shay, who's with Jordy, is going to vote for Dave. Josh has his own thing with Jordy. He might vote for Dave. But she thinks she has Mark and Chrissy, who are part of the non-reward group, which is a horrible group name. I don't know. The non-reward four. I don't have more for that. But she thinks that, I can see how she thinks that Jordy is going to go home on that. Yep. But she is wrong. So I get her logic, but it also was the awkward to be the only person who doesn't do it. I mean, Chrissy's voted for Jordy on the vote before. It is very unfortunate. I totally see how she thought that would happen. And I don't dislike the movie either. Like for her, Jordy should go. Like Jordy's a big threat. Like Josh has his own thing with Jordy. He doesn't want him to go. Jordy has his own relationships, which I think is obviously what saves him in that vote. But she should start taking out these big threats, and all the guys need to go in some order. He's a big immunity threat. Like, he might save himself every round. Like, for sure, take him out, and then have the girl sit at the end. Like, I get it, but it was just, it was really uncomfortable that she was the only one. But we see it, so that's what's important.
I love KJ. I love KJ. I love KJ's story. I really do. I don't know why, but I do. Maybe she's because she's a flight attendant. That's what it is. I love me some flight attendants.
I love that. If we could get enough flight attendants to do a returning season where it's like flight attendants versus pilots, we've got Josh, and they'll just talk about being a pilot just every day, and we'll do that.
I know. Like, who would have? T-Bird, me, Todd.
What an incredible tribe.
I know it. KJ, the winner of season, who was the winner? The short guy.
Jericho's a flight attendant.
Jericho, he's a flight attendant. Yeah.
Ricard. Every time people come out, I want to lie about being a lawyer or a psychologist. People should be lying about being a flight attendant. That's like the most successful profession.
I know it. I know it. And so what's funny is when I said I was a flight attendant to Erica, she paused. She stopped moving. Because it was our first time speaking after she got back from the Hourglass Island. And we were walking to the water well. And this is our first time really bonding. I already have safety. She's safe. And I felt like we were just going to like grow a really great relationship under great circumstances. And I'm telling her, like, oh, I'm a flight attendant. And she stopped. And she said, Todd is my favorite player in the history of Survivor. I like you, but I don't know if we can work together then. Because you can't be, I don't want you to beat me. Like, we had a moment where it actually changed how she viewed me. The fact that I was the gay flight attendant. And I was like, shit! What should I have done? Whatever. But yeah, no.
Oh my gosh. It's such a successful profession. And the thing is, like, that's a small sample size for all those people doing well. But it makes sense. It's like people who are obviously used to dealing with humans in their absolute worst state and having a smile on their face while they deal with these extremely stressful situations. Like, Survivor is like a flight, and flight attendants are the people who manage that. Yeah. This is like a revelation that I'm having.
There it is. New season after US versus Australia. Then we can have the flight crew.
Then we're going to view the flight crew. That's so good. US versus Australian flight attendants. That's what we'll do. We're making it very specific. I love that. And you don't even have to talk the whole time about I'm flying the plane and stuff. You just get it done. That's the other thing. That's the difference. So KJ, we see it. Mark is the question. Mark was the biggest question that we got, because Mark on the first vote, so it's a 3-2-2, and Mark, I don't think, could possibly know the way these numbers are going because he's the primary. But if he had voted for Geordie, he can send Geordie home, and it's obviously been Geordie versus Sam and Mark for so long. He votes for Dave, goes to a 3-2-2. It could have been 3-1 with the idol flushed. And Geordie goes home. And even had it been as they thought, I think that like Josh in his plan didn't know where Dave was going to vote. I thought he thought that Dave was going to be on the flush. So it was going to be 4-2-1. It ends up being 3-2-2. Even if it had been 4-2-1, if Mark changes from Dave to Geordie, Geordie goes home 2-1 instead of what would have been Dave. So he has control there. And then on the revote, obviously there are no numbers there to vote for Geordie. It's just KJ, but again, he votes for Dave. We get a lot on this. We hear from Mark that he thinks Dave is the biggest threat now. He says that in both episodes, kind of like using that threat level. Why do you think that he was set on Dave in these votes?
You know, I was thinking about something that Sam said a long time ago when Khan got his idol. And it was something along the lines of, when there's an unknown variable, that's more worrisome than a known variable. And I don't think they're saying Dave as gameplay Dave is the bigger threat. I think the unknown flip-floppiness of him, where is he voting today? I think that does make him a bigger threat. I actually do believe if I was to put my ego aside and focus on not who I'm mad at with Geordie, but get rid of Dave, because I at least know Geordie is never going to flip for coming against me. Dave, I will never actually know. I will never know his views. I will never know if he's going to be with me or not be with me. And that I would rather just get rid of that. I actually fully agree with Mark going Dave over Geordie, because you know Geordie's going to be coming for him next week anyway. Like, that's not going to change.
It's a known variable. Yeah.
And Dave does have pretty decent relationships we see with Josh and with Chrissy. And so he must see that they chit chat and, you know, I'm sure it's come up at some point, Josh telling Mark that, oh, Dave really, kind of coming for you. He wants you out this week. He thinks you're a threat. He thinks we should be turning against you. All of that must have added up for him to prioritize Dave. And I think it was 100% the right move.
Yeah, I love your point on that, because let's look at this from two angles. The first is Mark is making these active decisions. And if he is, and he's chosen Dave, and I think that there are reasons to take out Dave. As you're saying, it is the question mark. And when I spoke to Dave in the exit, he was saying that they were scared that he was, because he was really close with Chrissy, they were scared that he was going to pull Chrissy over. And that would be horrible for someone like Josh. And even Mark, who kind of like is sitting in those numbers right now with some form of protection. So I think that the question mark of Dave, that's there. And then I think as well for Josh and Mark, you do get that extra layer of Geordie being a shield. You're going to have to take him out at another round. Someone like Dave can fly by. They're scared that Dave and the girls could just take out what I think are the clear three top threats of Mark, Josh, and Geordie. You take Dave out of that, you kind of give yourself some space. You take Geordie out at the next round. I see that. If that's his agency, I think I'm still leaning take out Geordie. I think like Mark has enough of a shield. He's still got an idol. He still has those relationships. He still has Josh as a shield. He's still got some room to move. And Geordie is just such a big vocal threat. If he gets to the end, he will win. I think he had the best story. At Jury Villa, they gave him a standing ovation when he walked in. We haven't seen that response yet. And he can always win challenges. Like for me, it's getting down to the wire. I still take out Geordie. And I also think that, I mean, it would have been him taking out Geordie with the Nidal and his vote. And I think that would have looked really powerful, especially when we talk about how Geordie ended up leaving. I know he wanted it to be the ghost of Jeff the Idol. But if this had happened, I think it would have looked really powerful. It had been a battle for so long. So for Mark to really take ownership and step into that move, I don't know how much he knew. Again, he wouldn't have known the full numbers. But if he knew even a little bit of how much power his vote and Idol could have in that moment, I think that would have been really powerful to take out Geordie. So I think there would have been, yeah, a lot there if he'd done it. And I think the way Geordie goes in the end is a lot less powerful for the future of Mark's game.
Mm.
So there's things there. But then there's also the question, and this is where I'm leaning to it. I do think that Mark makes the decision, but also how much does Mark know? Like, again, like he doesn't have the numbers on the revote. I don't know if he even knows that he has a say on the first vote. Like Josh might be telling him that it's all Dave, we're all voting for Dave. So I don't even know if he knows that he's the primary on the vote. And I really do have to credit Josh a lot this week. But in general, Josh is the one throwing Dave out from the beginning. In that first conversation we see with Mark and then at the reward, Dave does not work for Josh's plans. He's not at all involved in this like cross-alliance connection with Geordie and the people they're protecting. So I do actually credit Josh a lot in like pushing this vote and having the most control by far and putting Dave out there from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I think was really, really impressive. What are you thinking about Josh? Like, as I know it's hard because his edit has been, you know, but we're getting a little bit more, but he did have two episodes of confessionals until episode 14. So these are the things that we talk about when we talk about inconsistent edits. What did you think about his game? And also like particularly this week, because I thought he had a big week.
I think Josh had a great week, but it's still showing me that he's not great at the game. I'm really hung up on him saying that he made a deal in the middle of tribal council with Geordie. Like, I don't know why that bothers me so much, but him saying, like, I made a deal with him and I kept my word to it. I was like, why are you saying this out loud? Even if maybe you've told a person or two, I just didn't see why he made that comment. And he looked like he kind of wanted to take it back. Also, edit-wise, I'm just confused with Josh because I'm being told he is running the show. I'm being told he's the kingpin, but I'm not seeing it. I see it with Sam. I see it with Geordie. I see it so many different places, but I'm not seeing it with Josh, even though he's strong. He has a great emotional tie to the audience now with his baby announcement, but we didn't even hear anything about it until that moment.
Yeah.
And which very much reminds me of like my Hard of Hearing episode. It's like, you don't know that that's a struggle throughout my whole journey in the game. All of a sudden you just get it for an emotional moment. And that makes me feel like they don't want us to really have this emotional tie to Josh throughout his season. Because why is this not something that like we're seeing him being stressed all the time? You know what I'm saying? So I'm overall confused with Josh's edit. I love that he's really tight with Chrissy. I love that he has a number one and he seems to really be sticking with her. And he's lucky that she's his number one because she has not. I was like going through her Wikipedia, her Survivor Wiki, It's like she hasn't voted against somebody that she's like really promised allegiance to really at all. Maybe one vote. She's been a solid, solid number. And even when she doesn't agree with the plan and she doesn't want someone to go, she just goes a slightly different way and doesn't do the plan, but she allows it to continue forward. I just love Chrissy and him as a duo. I think they're really, really great. I don't know. I just don't really know where I'd land with Josh because I can't think of him having, I can't think of a situation where he's really had control or talked in a confessional about a move he wants to make that isn't suggested by someone else and he either follows through with it or doesn't.
I think this week was where we saw the most active power happening in like specific moves. Before now, firstly, the edit has been shocking for Josh. I mean, in general, for other people, like KJ's edit is even crazier. KJ's edit, I was looking at the confessional chart and just laughing at the horribleness. It's like 0001, 0012, 005. Like, it's crazy. But for Josh, and I've said this last week, like the fact that they can so cleanly tell the story of the alpha male and they chose not to for 14 episodes and they made him a non-entity to us as someone who was now in the final five, at this point, I think has the best shot of winning at the end, should have a pathway, has been a powerful player, has controlled this the whole time, and hasn't been shown to us when they could have, did have a baby announcement on the show. Like, this historic moment, and they chose not to. It will always be to me. It is, I think, probably the most baffling edit I've ever seen in Australian Survivor. Not that other edits haven't been worse, even in this season, but the fact that I know it's a story they can and have told, and that they chose not to, will always confuse me. But with Josh's game, like, you have to look a little deeper, I think, because it wasn't given to us. And it was earlier on in the merge where they were saying, Josh is really smart and he's the one who splits the votes. And you would hear little things he was saying. And I was like, he is splitting the votes correctly. Like, I can see that it's smart, but it's been transparent. That's the thing. He'll tell you you're going home. It's a very like old school game like that. I've compared it to like Andrew Savage, for example, of like, we're going to do the thing I'm going to tell you. And if something comes back, it might come back on Josh. And it might have had he not won immunity with KJ's advantage. I think this week I was easily the most impressed with him. Also just like above anyone else. Like this week I thought everyone was doing kind of some confusing things. Wasn't like a full marks for anyone except Josh, who I thought was amazing this week. Like if you just like, if just to read out what he got done, coming from where he did, which was to vote for Sam and then tell them to play the idol. So he comes out of that vote having worked with pretty much no one. I thought he was next out. I'm like, you're in the minority. You don't have anyone to protect you. You voted against, you know, everyone in some capacity. Like you've worked against him in the space of 5 minutes in just these two episodes. So he fully protected himself with immunity twice. He was taken on a ward. He did successfully work both sides to the point where he was trying to get Jordy voted out by telling Sam about the idol. And then I thought this was hilarious. He and Jordy are talking about like their respective little alliances and their little cross deal, and he's like, oh, Sam should have played the idol so that, you know, you should have gone home, mate. Sorry about that. But like, he's complaining to Jordy about the fact that Jordy didn't go home. So like, I don't know. It's transparent, but it works. He's openly in the middle. Everyone wants to work with him. He has side deals that I think, you know, would have protected him even without immunity, that Chrissy's protected, and we'll talk about what she's doing, but she's not targeted either. He gets out the big challenge threat in Jordy and possibly the only person who could beat him at the end. He flashes two idols. Which, again, a lot of that is on Mark. We'll talk about it. But two idols go, and he's back in the majority, technically, with Mark and Chrissy at the final five. Like, damn, like, that was a really impressive two episodes.
I think what's tough is, yes, that definitely sounds impressive, but I guess there's not really a but here. It's just weird for me where the other players are in such desperate spots, or are goats, in the sense of how people love to call people goats, that they just kind of need him, but he's not necessarily dictating stuff. He's going with like, oh, Mark needs somebody because easily Mark could be a target. And Jordy needs something because he could easily be a target. And so he's just kind of choosing which way to go, which I guess technically gives him a powerful position, but he's not really dictating it. And he didn't position himself in this very powerful position. He just happens to have enough leeway and enough grace. He's given enough grace for his moves against certain people that they're like, well, you know, I need you, so it's fine you voted out my wife, and oh, it's fine that you tried to come for me because I need you right now. And so that's where I'm kind of struggling with Josh. I 100% could see him as a winner. His edit still is confusing to me.
Yeah,
it's still very, very confusing, but I see it both ways. I really do. I think he's just in a position of power out of convenience.
I mean, I see both parts of that. Edit-wise, he's ruled out of winner contention for me, which is so frustrating for a few reasons, in that I don't want anyone to be ruled out of winner contention at the final five for me. And he, again, continues to be last in the people I think would win, just because even KJ, who's had a worse edit, I feel like maybe they'd struggle to tell, like, an admittedly quiet game story, whereas they'd never struggle with Josh's story. So I can't see it. I'm frustrated by it because I think a lot of the problems with the edit were missing that other pole to Mark and Sam. And they didn't have that evenness because he should have been that kind of counterforce. And we have Jordy, and for sure that could have been like a three-way counterforce, which we didn't have. Josh and Jordan were always missing from that kind of pair dynamic and from that like kind of winner contention. So now with Jordy gone, especially with Sam gone, there's a bit of a vacuum that I think Josh should have been taken up. So from an edit perspective, he is last for me. From a game perspective, he should have, I think, some real chances. And when you talk about need, I see both sides. Jordy does need him. We'll talk about Jordy doing stuff in that. Mark needs him too. They need these shields. They need these relationships. And it's not like he's playing them in that. Like, that is a credit to them and their active gameplay. But I still think that, like, you have to credit Josh to a degree in that. Like, I do think there's some positioning in that. I think there's some relationship building in that. He's also, reciprocating those relationships where they need him and he's there. And he brings assets that make him something that they value. And the couple of things, the fact that both Mark and Jordy have like the same confessional about how Josh's immunity win is good for them. When in 6 hours, Jordy's going to go home and Mark's going to flush an idol and it was bad for both of them. I thought that was really impressive. And even a little thing, the fact that they both think he's Harvey Dent, I know it's stupid. And for some reason, this whole season is a Batman product placement. But like, it's funny to me because they're both like, yeah, the Dark Knight and Harvey Dent. We did get a comment that Mark should have been saying the Mark Knight, and now I can't unsee it. But, like, the Joker and Harvey Dent, and, like, he just screwed you both. Like, you both lost out in the last Tribal Council, and he was actually controlling the whole thing. Like, I actually do think that is really impressive. And in terms of, like, him putting the plans into action, like, Dave, I think, is all him. As the person who's, least important to him, I think that's what mostly Dave suffers for. We have some other things, like Mark kind of blaming Dave for, you know, Sam going home and then some of the revenge and some of the things you're saying is why Mark would want that for sure. But like Josh has the most to gain by Dave going home because he's the least close to Dave. He's protecting Jordy's people and he's protecting his own people. And Dave's just not a part of that. So I think Dave suffers for his lack of closeness to Josh. And that control, I would say, is why Dave goes. And I think that is like the perfect move for Josh, who's still using that Jordy connection until he can win in that interaction in the next round.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I do think that is impressive. But you mentioned Chrissy, and they are such a tight pair. You know, it's kind of amazing that they aren't being targeted. That even Chrissy is not being targeted because they're easily the tightest pair in the game. She's openly helping him with an immunity challenge. Like, I wanted to get your take on that because I think, like, for Chrissy, who has been really social, and that's been, like, the MO is just kind of connecting with people, to help him with the immunity challenge, I think was, like, such an active move. So what did you think about that?
Immediately when I saw her helping, because she had a pretty awesome opening to that episode. Like, we got to hear a lot of her input. Like, we had a great confessional from her. And I was like, oh no, why are we hearing so much from Chrissy? Are they either starting a random ass winner edit for her, or is she going home? And then when they were in the challenge and she started helping, I immediately frantically texted Sean. I said, oh my God, it's Chrissy going home today. Because I thought that was the biggest flaw. What was she doing? Why would she do that so openly? I was really, really confused to promote yourself as being willing to stop in the middle of this puzzle to help somebody else. And somehow she didn't go home. I was pretty baffled by it. So I guess I don't have too much input on how could it have been perceived, or what would have been the better decision? Like, could she have shouted over to Mark as well? I don't know, because Mark thought of it as actually great too, which confuses me. I would be confused. That confuses me why Mark is okay with this. But it stood out enough to me that I thought that it was really going to put her in trouble. So it must not have been a great thing.
Well, I think that Chrissy and what we said about KJ could apply to Chrissy, which is like, they aren't targeting her. And we see in Jury Villa that they call what I assume is the three women goats, right? Like, they can't all be goats because they could all sit next to each other. And we'll talk about that possibility, which I would love. The three women, for a few reasons, sat at the end together. So many parts of that would be great. But there's room to play. There's room to play big when there's so much focus on other people. So we talk about KJ taking the big swings. Chrissy's swing was in helping her ally Josh, who could be 100% a target in a way that she's not targeted for reasons. He could be taken out that night, and she helps him with immunity when she's too far behind in the puzzle then to win. I liked this big move because I think she is doing her part to protect that pair and, like, how important Josh's relationship and having him in the game is to her. Chrissy is not targeted, maybe because they see her as someone they want to sit next to at the end. But again, if it's the three women, I think it's a pretty open field. Maybe because the women do want to sit with her, so they're not going to come for her, so she's kind of insulated to that degree. So she can play big, and I like seeing it happen in such a public, vocal way, which it had to in the nature of the challenge, because it's different from the gameplay we usually see from Chrissy, which is softer, which is social, which is kind of in those, like, slower moves. But yeah, I kind of like these women just being like, yeah, let's do it, you know, like, let's just, what, like, maybe it won't work out, and maybe I'm putting a target on my back, but, like, still no one's really looking at me, and, like, let's kind of use, like, the shadows which we have to work within that.
I guess what concerns me for her, and what actually came to fruition, it's null. Like, this doesn't matter. But in that moment, if I was Chrissy, I would not have done that. Because let's say, in the end, you know, we have somebody stronger than Josh, somebody more of a target than Josh winning immunity. We have Mark with his idol. Now, if the target is Josh at all, and it just, it could be very easy for you to weaken Josh, because people love taking out your bestie to weaken you. She could have been in the line of fire. Very unlikely, but still, it's something that I feel like you need to be thinking about actively all the time. And I know Chrissy is very new to Survivor, and so maybe that's just not on her mind. I don't know, but it just, it's something I wouldn't have done. I would not have done that. I'm grateful that she is still in the game because she is a joy to watch. I absolutely love her. If you want to call her a goat, she's the best goat of all time because I freaking love her and she's enjoyable and she kicks ass in challenges. She's really not just being dragged along. I am impressed by her gameplay. I absolutely am. Just a little dangerous. Just a little dangerous, Chrissy.
Yeah, I mean, Chrissy being a target is a big part of this week because the Purgatory, which is what I'm calling the Purgatory, Purgatory. So they came in as a four, right? So Dave, Jordy, and JJ, which is also what I'm calling that new duo. I just spent my whole night just trying to come up with little names for
the group. I'm going to get so confused. Okay.
Okay. No, but the four come in, and they have a majority, and it obviously immediately cracks, which we'll talk about. But two of them go, and the minority of what at that time is Mark, Josh, and Chrissy, who shouldn't have even been aligned, because obviously Josh has voted out Sam, that three have wrestled back the numbers. And I think a large part of that is also, okay, so Josh was immune the whole time. It ends up being that way. Mark has two idols. He's immune the whole time. The only person that the Purgatory could have gone for was Chrissy. And I don't think that that was a good option for them. Like, I don't think they wanted to. And is that maybe her perception, which is a bit unfortunate? Is she seen as beatable? Okay, maybe. But again, there are permutations where it might work out. Is she seen as a valuable asset to KJ and Shay, who obviously make up a lot of that Purgatory? Yes. So I think that she brings value to people in a way that they don't want to target. And I think that being that workable and having that much space is a big reason of why this four crack. Like, obviously they want to come for each other, and by the end they're all voting for each other. Jordy votes for Shay, and KJ and Shay vote for Jordy. KJ's already flipped on Jordy. Dave and Jordy are flipping from the first moment. But they have their own stuff going on. But Chrissy not being what they see as a viable option for reasons that maybe work for and against her game, I think is a big, big part of this. And if Josh is vulnerable, at that point it's in the six. Even then, actually, I don't think that they're going for Josh because he's made the side deal with Jordy. So the way that Chrissy and Josh have covered that four and coming back in this minority, the relationship with Mark, side deals, basically in the fact that the girls want to work with Chrissy and Jordy wants to work with Josh, like, they're okay in a way that when you looked at it coming into the week, actually probably shouldn't have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't know how Chrissy made it this long. It's so amazing. It's so amazing when you just see the person that she is, like the relationships. Every season, we always find the one person that's just too lovable, too funny. I've seen so many of the advertisements of like Chrissy flirting with Jonathan, just being a light outside of what we're even getting from just the edit of the episodes. And somehow she is skated by what I assume as the most liked person there. It's just like personality wise. And I just don't understand how that even happens in the first place. I just really don't.
Yeah, we're so lucky to have Chrissy, and I truly do love her as a character and as a person. And I said to Croc on the exit, I was like, they should hire you for casting. You cast the best person of the season. He just brought Chrissy along. He could have brought along a more boring sister-in-law, but he brought Chrissy, and we're all very lucky for that because it's a long season, as we've spoken about. And I think the issue, and I know that I'm going to talk about it a bit with Nick and Mike next week, but the issue is that it's a bit of a dark season. Like, that's the thing, is like, it's a lot. It's kind of like emotionally draining. But Chrissy is the light. Like, Chrissy is so fun and funny. And even in this week, like, highlights were her complaining about the spa stuff. I will never forgive Shay for the fact that we missed out on, like, Chrissy in a robe giving incredible confessionals with a glass of champagne. We need that. We need that, like, yeah, lightheartedness. And the fact that she's made it this far is honestly just, we all got a little lucky, I think, because that, like, cuts attention sometimes with, like, some iconic Chrissy confessional, a funny thing. And the season has needed more of that, but we're lucky we had, like, at least that.
I mean, even not getting to go and be in a robe, yeah, but she makes that one comment of hair is growing everywhere rapidly. That is not supposed to be. My real hair is falling out. Like, she's just freaking hysterical. I love her love for Jonathan. It's so cute. I think she said at one point a few episodes ago or in just an ad that he's her hall pass with her husband. It's just so cute.
What I love about it is that, so he's a hall pass, but she's not a Survivor fan. So she's like a fan of like his acting. And then she happened to go on Survivor, which she's not even a fan of. And Jonathan was there. If I were a husband, I'd be like, am I being stitched up in this? Like, how? What are the odds of that happening? Now you're going to go spend 47 days with the person who just was your hall pass for other reasons? Like, what are you talking about?
I love that people say stitched up. I'm getting used to that phrase.
This happens all the time. Like, I forget what is Australian and what isn't. I'll do this all the time with Mike Bloom. I'll be like, well, we can do it tomorrow, Arvo. And he'll be like, Arvo? I'm like, oh, we don't say full words here. As you, and you're probably beginning to know, it's too hot in Australia to say full words. So that's why we shorten all of our words. So you're learning the language. Probably largely through Geordie, who's always having a dig, having a crack. Like, I'm Australian. Well, I'm an immigrant, but I'm Australian and I can barely understand what Geordie means half the time.
Dogged move. I don't think.
Yeah, dogged me.
Okay.
That's Australian. Yeah. So this is how you learn it. This is what I talked about with Nina, like having to come in and be like, dogged who? What dog? And do we cat people? No, we're just dog people. I wanted to ask you, assuming that Josh does have the power in this, and then they take out Geordie. So yeah, they promise to keep each other for two votes if he goes back on that. Do you like that move? Like, because he could have kept Geordie, and Geordie's clearly a shield. If he's taking out, if he can get the numbers with, you know, obviously Geordie's willing to do it for Shay. So say Shay, if Mark's willing to do it, if Chrissy's willing to do it, do you think that that maybe Josh should have taken out like a Shay rather than Geordie?
It's really tough with Shay. Shay kind of reminds me of Juicy with being very back and forth and inconsistent. I mostly saw it at the beginning of the season when she lost Bree, and I felt like she was given so many opportunities to come in with these new groups of people, and she just kind of would turn on them, or she seems very inconsistent with who she wants to align with, at least in the earlier part of the game. I could see maybe getting rid of Shay. But I don't think it's a bigger priority now. No.
Well, Geordie told me in the exit that he was going to go to the three with Josh. Like, he actually was going to do that. And it kind of reminded me of your predicament with Shan, which is like, so do we kind of keep these powerful players together, work through, probably make it to a final three, and then battle it out in a difficult battle that you don't feel great about? And like, if I were Josh, I'd be looking at it the same way. Like, if Geordie wants to do that, Geordie might win immunity. It's like, there's power there. If he's going to take you, great. But I don't know that Josh can beat Geordie. That's the thing, is I think Josh could beat anyone else at the end, but I don't know that he could beat Geordie. Like, Geordie literally did get a standing ovation at the jury villa. People were into it. People were loving it. Like, they were loving the spectacle from the jury bench. So I think that that is a question mark. And obviously he can win immunity. So like, Shay can win immunities, but a okay, maybe I'll sit next to her, we'll be okay. Like, I would prefer she doesn't, so I have that autonomy. But if she does, maybe I can still work my way there and then at least beat her. If Geordi starts winning immunities and you're sitting next to him, like, I think that's probably a loss for Josh. And as much as, like, Geordi wants him to ride the lightning and, like, take it as far as he can, Tony style with Spencer, and just, like, take it really, really far with that big shield, I think this was maybe far enough with, like, how threatening that is.
But, see, but the, I'm willing to go to the end with somebody that I know it's going to be quite the uphill battle to distinguish my game from theirs and to talk to the final tribal council jury. However, if you don't trust the person will actually keep you to the end, I think that's where it's riskier. And so Geordi is just, Geordi's all over the place. Geordi is all over the place, has been wild, has been reckless, and I've always seen him as somebody who has phenomenal ideas, but he acts before he thinks. And so all of his plan, like him being open to working with Sam and Mark when they had the idol, when they had his brother's idol, and him going back to camp, as I've learned from Sam, and saying to everyone, like, oh, Jesse left with the idol. Like, he was all in and was willing to put in the work to make a move happen. But then he doesn't think, then retracts it and says, oh, she has the idol. She has the idol. And makes himself look inconsistent and himself look inauthentic and untrustworthy. And so it just, I can't see myself in a situation where I'm willing to be with somebody who lies and then fixes their own lie, but then expects you to believe that their first lie was okay. Like, it's just, it's way too confusing, which is a bummer because Geordi actually could be a great person to go to the end with. I think if you both have a good enough resume, I'm willing to do it. I was willing to go to the end with Shan. I absolutely was willing to go to the end with Shan, but I didn't trust that she wouldn't take me out first. And so I'm glad I did what I did. I would be nervous with Geordi turning on me last minute. I would be.
I mean, I think what is the thing about this as well is that they're still not believing the idol lie or the idol truth until the idol is revealed, which is just like, genuinely, I tweeted and I was like, all I ask is that they believe the idol in my lifetime. Like, I just don't want to die before this comes out. Like, how long these episodes are, like, maybe I will, like, who knows, you know? I just wanted to see it, and it's done now. And I think we can all just take a breath with the fact that this idol came out. And, like, I do think that that's part of it. Like, you know, if you're still not believing Geordi on that, how much can you really work with him? Like, you still think that he's lying to you about that thing. There is the inconsistency there. And I will say with Josh, like, I thought it was a great week. Only miss for me is that I do think, like, not believing the idol for so long, that's a miss for me. Because, like, even if I agree with his decision-making around the idol, or what would have been his decision-making around the idol, like, yeah, purgatory, scary, still keep them around. Oh, yeah, take out Geordi rather than, like, actively flushing Mark's idol in the second vote because Geordi's the biggest threat. Like, I agree with those decisions in a vacuum, but I also think he's not operating with all the information because there was such a question mark around the idol for so long. So that's my biggest thing against Josh. It's probably whole game. And even in this week was like, he just didn't believe the idol for so long. And like, it was just like such a big misread from everyone. But like, I'm talking about Josh's power. So that's a big thing for me. Let's talk about Geordi's, you know, reward move where he convinces Shay that they're going to go to the spa, the spa reward deal heard around the world. And this is like a big deal, I think, for both Shay and Geordi. So from Geordi's perspective, because he also like, gets heat for this. Mm-hmm. What did you think about this as a move for Geordi?
I thought it was great. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, especially if he actually was. I always take everything people say with a grain of salt. Like, oh, I had an Emmy. I could have won that. We don't really know. Maybe you could have won, but that's not a guarantee. But still, great plan. I think he had the perfect target with Shay being the one next to him. That is, like I said, my perception of her is being wishy-washy. She's all over the place. She'll just make one promise here and then be over here all of a sudden. And I think that's a huge flaw in her game. If that gets her to the end, fine. Not the biggest fan of it. But I think he did exactly the right thing, letting her take all the pressure. But this is where Juicy Dave may not be the best at Survivor, but I think Juicy is a smart ass human being just in life, and him pointing out like, oh, did nobody else see this? He was a genius by doing that. Geordi totally pushed all the heat right on to Shay. It's like, Juicy, you are so smart. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for pointing this out, because this so easily could have gone over everyone's head. KJ and Chrissy's frustration could have overshadowed anything Jordy could have done. Like, love it. Love, love, love Juicy for doing that. Because he could have gotten off scot-free. Jordy could have, I think Jordy did the exact right thing and just happened to have somebody a little too smart noticing what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
oh,
Juicy,
I love that.
Yeah, like he became Juicy. Like those last three episodes, like he really like got the Juicy mantra. It wasn't Juicy, it was the Judas thing. Like when he became Judas, that was it. When he became Juicy Judas, because like from there, and then he pulled over Josh and I gave him a chilly point, and then like he had this read on Jordy, and I was like, Juicy Dave just started playing the game, like, really well. Like, what has happened in these last couple of episodes? But I thought that Jordy's move was so trademark Jordy. Like, literally, like, it personified his whole game. Like, it was really good. It was, he had, like, the ingenuity. It was fun. It was playful. It made him go to have a spire award and a robe, which is, like, he's always going to want to have fun. But then it also was, like, completely red, super transparent. Like, he made a deal in it that I think did save him around, like even on the revote when they can vote him out. It's like that relationship with Josh that's really saving him. So it was definitely worth it. But then also it's like increasing his threat level and everyone's onto him.
Yeah.
Huge swings for Jordy. Like and pros and cons. To me, that is like completely the Jordy game. So I really felt like this was just like a trademark Jordy move.
It's great. I give Jordy total points for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, his whole game is so vocal. Even, like, this whole week, he's trying to, like, he's at least pretending to pull off, like, subtle moves. Like, even when he says to Dave, oh, well, it's fine because, like, Mark isn't going to play the idol. And it can't, he's trying to get Dave to be part of his own vote split, which Jordy could have been on. He could have been on his own vote split, but he has the relationships that he's not going to go. And Dave's not buying it. But, like, even in that, then he's, like, vocally trying to, like, flush Mark's idol. Like, subtlety was not the name of the game for Jordy, I would say. But I admire the ingenuity at every time. What do you think about the fact that, okay, so he and Dave do split immediately. The Purgafori did have the majority. There was an option there to stick together. And then both he and Dave are going to go home. Do you put the blame on either person here? Do you put the blame on Jordy for leaving True Reward and leaving Dave alone, where this kind of manifests this plan against him? Do you put the plan on Dave for getting a little greedy? Like, whose fault is it here, if anyone's, that the four don't stay together and that both Jordy and Dave end up going home this week?
I'm curious of just Jordy's overall behavior at camp with showing how close he was to Josh. It seems like they were just spending so much time together. And obviously this is an edit. There's a lot of days in here, but I'm curious if not necessarily him leaving for the reward, having this time away and then coming back was the issue, or if it was his behavior, because he doesn't seem not capable of being super transparent and everybody knowing what he's feeling. And so I'm curious if the bigger misstep was how close he was with Josh, how many times he put his arm around Josh and said, hey, let's go for a swim. I'm curious if that's the misstep, not the reward.
And then it's again the Jordy game where it transparent has extreme pros in that relationship is pivotal for him at that vote, has extreme cons in that it makes him a threat in that the four start breaking because they have these side deals because there's clearly other agendas there. So again, it's like the pros and cons for Jordy. Like, I think the pros are definitely there, like to diversify your kind of relationship portfolio, to give yourself other options, other powerful options. That probably does save Jordy at that first vote, at least through a revote.
It's pretty wild to me to see that Jordy went from when he got out Sandra at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, look at him being stealth as hell. Then, you know, he becomes a bigger player, great in challenges, whatever it may be. He comes back into the game all in. He's like, chaos. I can do the biggest game ever because Jesse's not here and I have nothing to lose. And I know this is kind of off topic, but just the fact that he went and voted for Shay in this like sad, he still wasn't all in with like the big moves. Let me just still try and get out Mark or whatever. It's pretty surprising to see that little tiny shift. I know it was so brief, but I kind of expected his game to end a little bit differently. I thought he was going to be gung-ho and hope that like his big moves of trying to turn against Mark or maybe convince Mark not to use the idol and still vote him out. I thought that would be the end. But it just, I don't know. It was a little not on brand for the new Jordy I saw post Purgatory.
I liked the Shay vote. I thought that was a dignified way to go because it shows that he knows how the readers, like, yeah, if anything, that's all the goodness of Jordy's game in the Shay vote. That is never say die. That is try to find a 10th option that does make sense to someone like Mark. That could be something legitimate, not just like throwing things at the wall with a Mark vote that's not going to come off. When you see it's not working, just like trying something else. And that is the Jordy game of just basically always trying. And in this way, trying something that at least had some sense to it. But Jordy's game, Jordy's not a patient person. I think that's what we can say. Like, Jordy might be better off in a 26-day game. For 47 days, like, even in the exit when I asked him, like, what kind of happened? Like, you told Josh about Mark's idol, but then you were working against Josh. And the way that he talked about it, like, he was just outright playing both sides. And it just probably took one conversation between those other pairs, which we saw, to be like, wait, no. Like, you're clearly playing us both. And that bonded them through this new six, which ran the rest of that, like, first half of the post-merge, like, through that kind of middle part of the game. That's the Jordy way. Like, I think we understand the character type. And yes, it was, like, beaten down our throats for several, you know, weeks, really, in a way that wasn't subtle. And, like, a lot of that is on the edit. But in just the game, and imagine it given to us in a better, more complex edit, I just think there's something that is really entertaining about it and really fascinating. Like, it is a different type of player who's just kind of always going to try something, who's always fighting, who is knocking over 15 things as he gets there, but is kind of like half making it to finish lines and kind of not, but who never says die. I enjoyed it. Like, even at the end, as they're going to vote, and he knows he's gone. So in that last tribal council, he's like joking with everyone. He's like on it. Like, he's like doing a stand-up routine in that tribal council. And I think we hear Shay say, shush, Jordy. Like, they were done with it. They were really done. But we were having fun. And I feel like so many things that I saw with you know, in the auction, with the Shay vote, with this reward thing, were just like, that's Jordy. Like, you can tell the kind of move he's going to make.
I guess that's where... There's it for me, and I may not make this very clear. There's a difference between what I think is a great move and what's just confusing for a personality. I love the sensibility of the Shay vote. I love that move for Jordy. It just doesn't ring as super consistent for the version of Jordy we got post Purgatory. I was like, Purgatory? Purgatory. Purgatory.
Yeah. You know, well, especially with me making up names. Like, you're trying to keep up with it. Yeah.
I think that's more the thing of like, oh, you know, he can be sensible. He can really trust that maybe something could come from this random idea. And it just seems very unlikely for the person he is. And how many times has he shut down Sam, who was willing to talk to him multiple times? Like, hey, do you want to make a move? Like, should we even try? And he just didn't seem to care. He was like, no, you're not an option. I'm not going to do it. And for now, when he's really has his back against the wall, to be like, oh, shoot. Okay, I could either still vote Mark just for funsies. Mm-hmm. Or who knows? Maybe somebody will go to do a more sensible thing. It just doesn't read for the edit I and my perception of him. Think it's a great move. Love it. Think it was the right move. But, you know, it's just tricky with edits and how I kind of overread into edits. I really read into edits more than just enjoying a game move. It's almost like I don't allow myself to enjoy certain moves because I'm just like, but this doesn't make sense for the edit and how they're showing me this person.
But does Jordy's move here give Backdate any credit for you on some of the other moves? Because I think what this shows is, when he wasn't taking those other options and he was just kind of throwing stuff more on the wall and it wasn't working, like, maybe he really did perceive them to be, and maybe they were his best options at that time. Because we see now when it's not a good option for him and he reads that correctly and he goes out with the right read, which is, you know, kind of a nice way to go. Mm-hmm. He does pivot. So does that then backdate some credit to some other decisions where clearly he must have, and maybe even been right on, not having better options? And if he had, maybe he would have taken them, but they weren't there for him as much as he thought was like a good move for him.
It's hard because I still think he made so many missteps. So it's hard. I think he just talks a little too soon without really thinking about his options in front of him. And so I'll give him slight credit for some things, but I can't be all in. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm throwing my hands up.
Well, we have fun with it. I mean, I wanted to ask you, as someone who's been, you know, in some really innovative vote splits, what do you think about the fact that, like, so the Purga 3 become the sunk Mark votes? Like, you need at least 3 votes on Mark. 4 is what they really wanted on that first vote to make sure that the idol's going to get flushed. And it's been a bit of a contentious thing this season about flushing idols, but, like, they put a majority on Mark, so they actually get an idol flushed. Mm-hmm. But the Purga 3... They throw their votes away to a degree. I mean, the idol gets flushed, but they have no say on where the split is going to go. It could have been Jordy. Could have been any of them, technically. And Joshua's immune is the one who actually has that power, which, again, we see him vocalize it. I think it's a credit to him. But what would you have done in that situation if they're coming to you? They're saying, hey, we're working on this deal. I'm immune. You guys are on the sunk votes on Mark. And we're going to be on what will be the day votes, but you're going to have to trust us on that. Is there another pathway there in that split?
So my first thought is just thinking about the recklessness of Jordy again and him being willing to be, I might go home if this doesn't work out.
Jordy loves to be, I might go home. Like, that's the thing. It's like, Jordy loves being bait. And it was something that kind of worked out because they could keep trying to flesh idol. They could, like, at least make moves and know that Jordy is the bait. It kind of took away Sam's implicit immunity. But, like, it's rare to see someone, I even asked about it in the exit, it's rare to see someone just be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, if it doesn't work out, I'll just go home. Like, he really, like, he was playing with house money. Like, that's why he was doing it.
Now, whose perception are you asking?
If you're Jordy and Josh comes to you and is like, you guys are on the Mark votes and I'm going to vote for Dave, and you have to trust this new cross alliance that is barely a day, you know, like, that is, he did vote for Sam, but he also did tell Sam to play the idol so you'd go home. The very next vote, you are trusting Josh and Chrissy and whoever Josh is putting there on the split, that it's not going to be you, because you're sinking your votes on Mark, who you know is going to play an idol.
Yeah.
Is there another way to go about that?
I think the only way that I could go about it is to be blowing up Josh's game, which I don't think is beneficial to Jordy in the long run. I mean, you could say, you could use information, any information, I can't even think of a specific thing, but something that wouldn't be common knowledge that Josh maybe shared with you to be like, oh, just so you know, Josh did this or Chrissy did this, to kind of sway Mark's frustration onto them and maybe feel distrust with Josh and with Chrissy. That's the only thing I can think of, but that wouldn't even be beneficial because I think he knows that Josh is his option. Josh is the safe bet, and he has his Purgatory 3 already, and there's not a lot more you can do there. So I think that is the best play in that particular moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at just splitting with the 5 without blowing things up, so you've got the 5, and say Dave and Mark can do whatever they want, but you've got this kind of cross-alliance of 5, and you have to split 3-2 on that 5. So at that point, say Mark and Dave are voting for you. So even if you put, say, okay, Jordy and KJ are going to vote for, they're going to be on the right side of the split because they're going to make sure that those votes are on Dave and not Jordy, for example, right? But you still need 3 votes. So you can say, okay, Josh and Chrissy, Josh, you're immune. You're going on the Mark side of the split. You're sinking your vote. But then we have to give you Shay because we need 3. So you have to put one of the Purga 3 onto Mark. So best case scenario, you 100% get your 2 Mark votes, but then Dave and Mark might be voting for Jordy. So what he really needs in that moment is the relationship and the trust, because even in the best case scenario of assuring your vote on the split, you could be going to a tie. And then if you've really pissed off Josh and made him not do the vote split that he wants and put him on the other side and really kind of like stood your ground on it, maybe he's voting you out on the re-vote. So I think that Jordy did a lot really right in the first episode of this week in a few different ways, in even agreeing on that more risky split, in even going on the more risky reward and getting Shay to do it. But it was all in investing in this relationship with Josh. And I know that the next episode that goes immediately south, but in this episode, I think the relationship work that he was putting in with Josh does save him. And I think that is a credit to him. And it is pure innovative relationship work. Like, they're in different alliances. They were aligned. That's the thing. It's not just a new alliance. They were aligned through the first half of the game. They dramatically turned on each other. They've been working against each other, and it's a renewed relationship. And the work that he has been putting in it and pitching it for weeks we've seen him pitch to Josh, and now using it for this one vote. It got him through one vote, but that was actually quite powerfully done, I think. And I think it is impressive the work that Jordy was putting into that relationship. So yeah, even in the split there, I think that there's some impressive stuff there from Jordy.
Well, maybe there just is more trust than we realize, or actually enough. They're showing us enough of it with the fact that the past moves of Jesse leaving because of Josh being in on it, and the fact that they were Jordy. There's so many J names. I really struggle.
So sorry.
Jordy wanted Josh to go. You know, there's enough of like, hey, let's put down our knives for two seconds. We both did some shit.
Yeah.
But we know that we can trust each other under great circumstances like we did at the beginning of the game. Mm. So yeah, maybe you just can be trusting. And that could be a beautiful thing and work out. And he clearly did. Good job, Jordy.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't blow it up. And I think that there is something really powerful in the fact that they did work together for so long. And I think we've kind of forget about that, because in the time they were working together, Josh wasn't on the show. Josh was not edited to be in the show for most of the time that they had a relationship, because he didn't get confessionals for about 14 episodes legitimately. And now Josh is a character on the show who's having a baby. So much has happened, this intruder on the show. And now he's working with Jordy. But they actually did have a relationship in the past. And I think that that is what's important. But let's talk about some of the people who didn't get as much screen time this week. Shay J, as I'm calling them. Let's talk about the reward from Shay's perspective, because poor Shay is played here to the point. I also want to make some sort of joke about how she puts the Shay in shaving her legs, just because she mentioned shaving her legs like 8 times. And that seemed to be like a strategic prerogative of this move for her, that she could shave her legs. And honestly, like, no judgment there for me. But what did you think about Shay in this moment? Because we've talked about it for Jordy, but for Shay.
I'm just disappointed in her turning against the Girls' Alliance, or like the girls' agreement with one another, because I feel like there have been so many opportunities for the women to take advantage. Like, there could have been KJ, Shay, Chrissy, and Sam dominating this damn game. That could have been a reality, but I feel like there's not the trust there. And I don't know what the read is, but I don't know if I have the correct read, but I feel like Shay is the big piece that isn't a solid yes to that idea. Not that I even know if they continue forward with it, but Shay always seems to like turn. it's such a bummer, because they could have dominated. Final seven, those four, they're running the game down into the ground. I think it could have been amazing. So it doesn't shock me, her not really keeping her word to KJ and keeping her word to Chrissy. I kind of don't even know why they went all in with such a strong deal in the first place when Chrissy wasn't in her alliance. I don't really, it's pretty confusing how that even started from the get. Because if you are how I've perceived them, the Purgatory Three, this other entity, there are three spots. Shay and Jordy are very strong in challenges. They're very likely to win this, or they could potentially win this over Mark and Josh. That's a pretty good shot for the three of you to continue your three-person strong alliance and ride it to the end. So why even go in on this idea with Chrissy? I never really understood that from the start. So, but then to then further that and turn on KJ, who you bonded with, you two were there to get, like, Shay, what you doing? I don't get it.
Well, I love the girl thing. Firstly, I mean, well, yeah, let's talk about it. If it is the three girls at the end, for so many reasons, it will be incredible. The first being that it's been, like, such a gendered season for so many reasons, on and off screen. Boys Alliance, some of like the vitriol we've seen to the women this season, like it's all been seeped in gender. And if the three women just kind of come out of the final three, I'd be living for it. I think it would be a super open final three. I think it's absolutely optimal for all three women, because I do think it's an open race in a way that I think Josh or Mark would beat them. I think 100% that that's exactly what they should be doing next week. I don't know if Chrissy's on board. We've seen KJ openly talk about it. Really good plan, super smart. Is Chrissy part of this? Because she's not been in those conversations, and maybe the spa would have been the time to do it, especially because it's so easy to defend that reward decision of, yeah, the girls are just going to have a spa day because it means more to us to kind of, you know, pamper ourselves little do the men know, as they're all coming for each other, we're at the spa having champagne and plotting this final three. It really gave time and space to what would have been a very optimal plan for them three. So it would have been great for Shay to win and take the girls on that. And I do like that plan. But like kind of any way that this goes for Shay should be okay. Like either you win and take the girls, like outright win, great. And again, it's easily defended to take the girls on a spa award. Or Jordy or Josh win, they take each other, they make that even more transparent, because Jordy obviously wants to take Josh as his number one because he has to make that deal. And he doesn't even have to do it in a transparent way because he doesn't even win. So she allows Jordy to kind of make that more secretive move, which does, I guess, help their faction, but isn't explicitly helping her game.
Yeah.
So Jordy takes Josh, makes it transparent, does make deals, though. Maybe he takes you, then you get to go on the reward. Either way, you've left some allies back at camp. Like, they have five people that they kind of want to consolidate in this, like, Josh-Jordy alliance. So the girls are in one spot. Like, someone's taking care of Dave. There's kind of enough options either way, whether Jordy wins or Josh wins or you win, that enough people will be taken and left back at camp, you would think, to kind of consolidate things. But it was only in just, like, how shady it was that it was done that we really saw those fractures happen and Dave start to get into people's ears with it because of the way that it was done. It wasn't even the people left. Like, if Jordy wins and takes Josh and Shay, like, that could be okay, you know? But it was the way that it was so transparently done that people really didn't like. If Shay never made that deal with the women ever and she wins and she's like, we were the final three, I'll take them, that's probably okay. Like, there might be enough people. But it's the promise and the breaking of the promise, and truly the only thing that I can see that Shay got out of this, like the only pro to this, was that she got to go on the reward. And like, I can't prioritize people going on rewards as like, you know, strategic impetus. Like, I have to think about it because I truly think, like, keep playing. If you win, like, I know it's hard because they've been there for so long, and I judge people for like bidding on food in the auction, and like, I've never been out there for 40, however many days, and it must be hard for sure. But like, from an optimal perspective, keep playing the challenge. If you win, you take the girls, it's great. If you lose, you might get taken, you might not. It's fine. We have enough numbers to kind of cover it all. But to do it in that way and to go back on that, like, it's something she could have to answer to at a final tribal council, just looking so played and like hurting them in that way.
I'm surprised by her perception of what people are okay with or want in the first place. I remember feeling like Shay doesn't have a really good read on this game when she thought that her tribe was going to save Ben and bring him over to their alliance with during one of the twists. And I was like, why do you think they're going to do that?
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, can she read this game? Does she know what's happening here? I just don't know why that promise was made in the first place. And yeah, I do think if you're the last three that made it the furthest, if it doesn't benefit your game and your alliance, it still is a little sus, especially when we're at the, what do you all say, the pointy end of the stick?
Oh, you don't have pointy end?
That is not a thing.
What? I'm shocked.
No, that I had to Google that.
Really? Pointy like, end is Australian?
What's even pointy?
Well, we're at the pointy end. That's not Australian. I'm Googling it. What?
That is not a thing I've ever heard.
What?
But oh now that we're God. At the end of the game, this is like end game. Every decision you make, every relationship that you could potentially build is beneficial. And I think that if you were to be the winner and not take advantage of at least bringing Chrissy, who's not in your alliance, after first, you should have made that promise in the first place if you weren't going to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did not make that promise at all and you want to build onto the Purgatory 3, bring Chrissy at least.
Mm-hmm.
Pamper her. Make her feel welcome, important. She could be a fourth in it, alongside other people that maybe join, like Josh. Why not take advantage of this opportunity? But instead, you bring Jordy, who's already close with you. He's suggesting you take Josh, and you're just like, all right. I just don't get it.
Firstly, I looked it up, and pointy end is Australian, and my mind is blown. So that's, oh my gosh. but yeah, I think for Shay, there are definitely other reward choices she could have made had she not made the deal. And had she then not made the subsequent deal, yeah, for sure, like, you know, Josh or Chrissy and KJ, and like, they're all options, and that's kind of why these deals, I guess, get made. But the important thing is that had Jordy been able to choose his ideal reward format, it's definitely Jordy and Josh. And I don't even know who the second is there, because that pair is so imperative. And like, maybe like a Shay to consolidate, maybe to leave KJ, you know, back behind, and she ends up turning on him. So maybe that's the wrong read. But the point is that she made obviously Jordy's decision for him of what was his ideal group, when there might've been better groups for her. And that group probably was KJ and Chrissy, so they could discuss this whole women's thing, consolidate of the five for now, and then have their own plan moving forward. So the fact that she got played in that way, it was strategically detrimental, and I think in her perception was detrimental. And you know, we definitely had, we were talking about it when we were watching, well, what if she just like jumps off and then just still chooses the girls, right? Like makes, well, they jump off, sorry. So she says she's going to do it. They jump off, as we see. She's like, nah, I actually told you I was going to take the girls. I'm taking the girls. And I think the reason she didn't do that is all the reasons, everything you just stated about Shay, which is that she did think Ben was coming over. Like the letter thing, like I know she had to give the letters, but like that's Shay's game. She's like, Jordy might do that. Jordy might say like, yeah, like, oh, I'll just take you guys. And they jump off and then he takes who he wants. Because that's the Jordy game, to have a little bit more fun with that. Like Shay's not doing that. Like Shay's not doing that, like, you know, more killer move. And anyway, there'd probably be some question marks around just like lying to two people's faces. Anyway, the move here is to keep playing the challenge and like, yep, risk reward. Risk shaving your legs, which is the only detriment. And then just hope for the best that either you get taken on award anyway, or you win anyway and take the girls, or Jordy wins or Josh wins and they don't take any of the girls and you bitch about it back at camp. Like all of those things are fine.
Yep. But you, which, but you do have to risk the reward. You three and also, yeah.
Yeah. So there were a lot of options there for Shay. So we've talked about KJ, who flips through this. And I do think that a lot of the great stuff that is happening for KJ this week is in vocalizing the all women thing. Yeah, just the fact that, like, the men have feared the women coming back against them. Like, every part of the game has been in how do we protect from this, like, female-dominated game. And, like, Jordy even said the exit, like, he's seen in other seasons. Like, he can't be. And it really is, like, that very minimal, like, gender divide that's happening through the history of Australian Survivor that does, like, lean to women to some degree. And every move has been made to protect against it. And now we're still at a final five with a majority of women who could be the final three. And the fact that it would like realize those fears for the men if they were the final three is something I will be living for. It would prove them right in a way that I find hilarious. So I definitely would love to see the three women somehow become the final three.
I feel like it makes so much sense for them to stick together, because I truly don't know who would win in that final three.
Exactly.
I've been trying to genuinely, even there's even a slight argument for like Chrissy feeling like, well, I was loyal. I was in a duo that went the furthest of anybody all the way to the end, blah, blah, blah. I mostly voted the correct way. Like she has a solid argument. And then Shay found two idols. Like she's gone from being this challenge beast that was a number one target over and over and over again to now she's being needed for votes and still had a vote cast for her from like the biggest threat, giving her a way to be to the jury. I am still a huge threat. Look, Jordy on his way out tried to vote me out. Like I'm a huge threat in this game. KJ had her sister who was controversial. You know, Sophie's very controversial. That could have destroyed her game, destroyed the perception of who she was if they could be seen as similar. And her amazing relationships got her to stay pretty much in the game. And she did have a lull in the middle where she was expendable, but then she was pretty safe. And people were asking her input on things. And she was a pretty solid vote for a time. And then, you know, she was out of the game. But now she's back. She fought her way back in. I think there's a solid reason for all of them to be like, one of us could win. It's not lopsided. It's pretty even. Oh, I just hope that's what happens. Except obviously, not obviously. I don't know how much you love. I don't know how much you know. I love Sam and Mark. I really want Mark to win. I want Mark to win so bad. But if he didn't, I would love one of the three women to win in a final three.
See, I would love that as well because it's our without play out last, I feel. Like, in a way that I think that takes from the others. Like, Shay has been a challenge beast. I know that, you know, Geordi kind of picked up that mantle for a bit, but Jay is like ridiculously strong. Yeah. And she probably, you know, would need to win some more challenges to kind of add to that resume. But like, she could be outplay personified. Chrissy outlast. Like, she didn't think she'd still be here. That's a social game. You know, it's social, strategic, physical. She's purely social. One of the most likable contestants we've seen. Like, super likable, has been in the majority. That's a social game. And then KJ, I think, can speak to some strategic stuff that the other two can't. Little small strategic move. She did vote out her sister, which has now just like been lost to time. But like, because it happened 100 years ago, but it did happen. She had the advantage to turn the whole game on its head. She's amazing. The one who's putting these plans out. Like, we should do the women thing. So she's vocalizing it. She could get to a final tribal council and say, this was my plan and my idea. Like, it's strategy, social, physical. And that's really neat to me in a way I would find really enjoyable.
Yep. Oh, and just to retouch on the KJ plan or KJ's advantage, played beautifully, perfectly. The only thing that would have been better for them was to get out Sam instead of Jordan, I think, maybe, if she had an idol in her bag, which she didn't. So it wouldn't have really benefited all that much. But, oh, love. And I loved all her little quips of like, you know, my mother always told me to have a spot of tea. I was like, okay, we're talking a lot of tea references. It was super cute.
Yeah, no, she's had those big moves in a quieter game. So I think she could speak to that. So we'll see, but I would be enjoying that. We can talk a little bit later with our predictions. Like, we're going to have to give like a gut reaction to who we think would win that. And I think it would be really hard. And that's the thing as well, is having a final three, you know, you would think maybe, okay, you know, now maybe like two people don't have a shot. Like, you know, some, with the final two, you kind of feel like everyone has a shot. Like, who knows, in a final two, one person to beat, have a good final tribal council. We've seen things get turned on their head. With a final three, you usually start like ruling people out. Like, oh, maybe they can't beat two people. Like, at least one person like can't win. But from a game perspective, I actually think anyone could still win, because I don't know who wins in those final three women. So technically everyone, I think, has a shot. And that actually, I mean, edit aside, which has kind of ruined some things for like Josh, for example. But like, from a game perspective, I do think there's a chance for everyone left in the game.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Can we talk about Mark's idol play, the second one? Because the first one we talked about his decisions with Dave. He plays his idol. He gets through. He does not receive a vote. In fact, Geordi votes for Shay. What did you think of this move?
I think if you are sticking, it's a bummer because us at the audience were like, don't play the idol. What are you doing? No, save it. Make it the final four. But if you made a commitment that anytime you don't have immunity, which Sam is, this is what Sam told me. Anytime you don't have immunity, if you have an idol, you're going to play it, period. Like, that's the rule they set for themselves. And if you're going to set a rule for yourself, follow through. So that makes sense. It's such a bummer that he did, though. But you know what? I think it was the smart way to go, especially when people are so flip-floppy this season. You have people that you really can't trust. You don't know what Jordy's doing. You don't know really what's going on. I think this was the smart move. I was pretty surprised at Mark's speech, though, the ghost of Jesse. I did not think that was the best way to end playing the idol, especially because now you have to come back to camp. You've maybe soured a few people on the jury. Now you also have to come back to camp, cop the fact that, yes, I have been blatantly lying to you fools this whole time. And then you were cocky about it on top of it. I think that just adds just too much to navigate, and maybe takes away from the great light that Mark is. I think Mark has amazing relationships. Even if he is a target, look how far he has made it as a strong strategic threat, as a duo. He is lovable. He is a beast. I think he has really great relationships, and I wouldn't risk tarnishing that. I think if you show a different, cockier side to yourself out of the blue, then that negates the consistent, steady perception of you. And he's always seemed to be very clear-minded, kind. Unless somebody turns on him, then he maybe will say, oh, yep, revenge is coming. You know, some little small comment, but this was a little cocky, a little much that I didn't fully agree with for his game. I love a sassy moment. So it's not that I hate the moment. I just think he should have played it a little bit more safe.
Even JLP said it was harsh. So you know when JLP is like saying that it's harsh. I wonder if Mark got it in his head that the ghost of Jesse had to take out Jordy. And obviously he has to play the ghost of Jesse second so that they don't know if he has a second idol. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that influenced his decision to take out Dave first as well. And as I was saying before, I actually think it would have been more powerful for that idol to cleanly take out Jordy at that first vote, even if it wasn't the ghost of Jesse's idol. I think that that would have been a bigger move when it has been such a battle with Jordy, and to really be able to own that defeat when Jordy got one over on Sam, to be like, no, I'm winning in this now with my vote and my idol. But I wonder if taking out Dave in that moment to be able to take out Jordy the next day with the ghost of Jesse was something he felt he needed to do for the jury props, for the fact that it has been such a big deal, to make it feel worth it, for like the symmetry of the moment that you could talk about in a final tribal council. I wonder if he just had it in his head that he had to have that happen. But then it wasn't happening. That's the thing that's upsetting. And Jordy was just going home. And I do see being conservative with the idol. Better safe than sorry. Play it. Get through. My two issues are, the first part being, I get being conservative, and I do still think it's fine to play it, but like, of all the votes that seemed obvious, Jordy is like saying things like, sorry, Mark, or like, can't wait to get back to camp. Like, Jordy so knows that he's gone. Mm-hmm. How could Mark have possibly thought that he was getting a majority of votes here? Like, there's conservative, and then there's like so conservative that like clearly Jordy is going home, but still play it. I'll give that benefit of the doubt, but it is a speech, right? Like the speech as well was a little cocky, but like had it come off and Jordy does go home on the runoff votes, you're like, all right. But then there's like being cocky and wrong. That's the thing for me. Like he called his shot in a way no one was asking him to do. Like no one was asking him to bet on this. And like, it kind of reminds me in Winners at War, when Nat says, okay, I'm not going to go to fire. I'm going to set Sarah and Tony to fire. But she like says she wants Sarah to win, which no one is asking her to like put a horse in this race. And then Sarah loses and it makes it feel like a loss for Nat. Yeah. And this is worse because it's not like she bet on like a fire thing she had no control on. This is Mark betting on his own read and losing vocally in front of a jury. Where he has a strong enough game where I don't feel that he needed to do that, especially when the read was so wrong. So to get up there and say like, you know, the runoff votes are going to take out Jordy and it doesn't happen. It really kind of made the idol go out in a bit of a damp way when it's been this big thing and Sam took it and everything. Like, she was sacrificed for this idol. I get being conservative, but, like, the speech. I thought that was one of Mark's probably at least, like, most vocal and probably, like, biggest errors in the game so far.
You know what's funny is I'm thinking back to a specific voter on my season. Tiffany was out first, and she was the first jury member. And I remember the whole day, she's like, we can't just vote out some random person. We have to flush an idol. We have to flush something. We can't just leave advantages in the game. And she was so like vocal about that. But then she's voted out. Nothing's flushed. No advantages are gone. And that pissed her off. I just knew it was making her fume. Then we have the double tribal council where it would be easy taking out either Erica or Heather. And I had Nasir and Shan, like easy, easy, because Nasir was all with us. But I specifically wanted an idol flushed because I was already starting jury in my head. Jury management was the most important thing. And I specifically wanted Nasir gone so that Tiffany would see an idol flush from the game. That's all I cared about. But I wasn't going to talk about it. I wasn't going to say anything until final tribal council, where I can walk through each one and be like, I made you happy. I did this move that you would appreciate. I did this. And the whole thing is save that content. First of all, make sure you're right. Yeah. Which Mark was not.
Big pot. Yeah.
And then if you are right, save that content for final tribal council. Like, amazing. That would have been an amazing speech if it actually was correct. And you could then at final tribal be like, by the way, that idol that my wife got, like, amazing speech, amazing full circle moment that you can talk about and have them just have a thought in your mind that you really thought about that movie and you thought about when you played the idol. That could have been great. You should have saved it. You really should have saved it because it didn't even work out the way you wanted to. But if it had worked out the way you wanted to, you just took away a little snip of your final tribal council speech. And that's a bummer.
I think what's hard is that Sam and Mark played the game together and Sam is gone. And now they'll be voting for Mark, like not Sam and Mark, but Mark. And the Jeffy's idol is Sam's move. So I think he was trying to be really vocal to share the move. Like, Sam took it, but I am putting on the finishing touch of this like epic move. But then to like try to make the big move, you also fall a little further. And I think that he tried to make it big to try and overcompensate, to try and like make it a little bit more shared. But instead it looked worse because it was like, wait, Sam put in all the effort to get the idol. A lot. I mean, and they both protected against that for a very long time, but like sacrifice for the idol, sacrifice social capital for the idol. Like, you know, it was a big move for Sam to take it. And then to have like Mark's part of it kind of end as it did, it actually makes that disparity bigger in terms of them not sharing the move. So definitely an unfortunate one. But yeah, that's pretty much it. We spoke a little bit about Dave, just like the fact that he literally was playing his best, I think, towards the end. In terms of like Will Mark's idol, the fact that he lied about it for so long and they really didn't believe it for that long, and now it's been found out. For me, I feel like they're at the final five. Like, is there time to care about this? Like, there's only a couple of days left. Like, I feel like if they need Mark, which Chrissy and Josh do, definitely Josh does. In terms of like that shield, that number, Chrissy might go with the girl thing. But like, if they need Mark, I think that they're using him anyway. I think this was a good time for the idol to come out because there's not enough time to be mad about it and to like get revenge for it. Like, if Mark's going to go, it's going to be on his own threat level and stuff. Like, you being at that very end point of the game, do you feel like this is something that you could even have time to care about at this point?
No. I think you just move on. I wouldn't care. I'd be like, well, you know, good job keeping it a secret, I guess. It wasn't a great secret, but good job keeping it a secret. It wouldn't hold any extra weight, especially because who everyone voted on, it didn't mess up any of their moves. Everybody decided to go Jordy. Jordy went home. So there's not even anything really to be bitter about, except there's a slight lie. Now, if it had, you know, there had been collateral damage where somebody went home that they had not expected, not voted for to go home because of the idol and because of the uncertainty around it, that's different. But I think everybody just, there's no reason to really be all that bitter. There's really not.
That's one good thing with it not working out. It's like, well, oh, well, Mark, like, you lied about the idol. Good job on that. The rest of it didn't go so well. Let's just never talk about it again. Like, we all have a lot to answer for in that whole idol debacle. And let's just all of us never speak of it again. Like, that's pretty much how I feel about the idol at this point. Josh, I was like, that, you know, I believed it didn't exist. Mark, you were wrong about that. Sam, stole it. Just never talk about it ever again. So we spent enough time talking about it. Penultimate week, finales next week. I want your predictions. Of what, who do you think is going to win right now?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Of the final five, I actually think, even though the edit does not agree with me, I think it's either going to be Josh or Mark.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see Josh, like, from an edit perspective. Josh is in like the best position. I don't know. Josh is the biggest threat, but I think we'll win at the end, no matter who he's sitting next to. So he's got the hardest run there. He has numbers. He has Chrissy and he has Mark. So he should be in a great spot. I cannot see from an edit perspective, and thus I cannot see him getting to the end because I think he'd win. It's kind of like Flick. His edit reminds me actually a lot of Flick last season. The difference is that at least Haley and George like had each other to spar off and to have like that, like, you know, dual edit. And then there should have been Flick too. Whereas like Mark and Sam have really kind of just like been living in their own little pair, being the focus. And Jordy. But Jordy is not there anymore. So it really should have been Josh there as that like counterpole, which we, you know, haven't had. So from an edit perspective, I can't see Josh, but I do think he has a really impressive game to sell to the jury that would win. My Winnipeg has been since Sam left Mark, the transfer of a Winnipeg, it's the same as the transfer of a dream. You know, he comes in with, I think he'll win against anyone who's not Josh. He has Josh as a shield. I think he could either win two challenges, or even if he loses the first challenge, you get rid of Josh, and then you just have to win the final four, for example. I think there are pathways there. And I think he'd win at the end, and he's my Winnipeg from an edit perspective as well. And then the three women, if it's the three, like, gut pick, like, who would you pick is winning in that, like, very open race?
Gut pick without overthinking it, because if I overthink it, I would go with KJ, gut, Shay.
Really? Yep. Because my gut is Chrissy.
Oh, I don't see it. I don't see it.
From an edit perspective or from a game perspective?
Game. Edit, I mean, like, she's so fun. Like, they make sure to include her even when it's not necessary. I think
because she's the only funny part of the whole season. That's why it's necessary.
Her growth in the game from, you know, hugging Croc and saying, I can't do it, seemingly making it seem like she might quit the game, to then being a beast in challenges. I mean, even this last challenge, she's, like, throwing sandbags. She's nailing them before anybody else. The bucket's dropping. Like, she is doing great. If you have all the perspective of watching her game. But I don't think the jury has enough of her moves to think that she's earned it, even though I think she's earned it.
I don't know. I just feel like the first thing is she could say, I wasn't sent to purgatory. So I'm the only one of these three that wasn't voted out. And that's what I'd be saying.
Yeah.
I'd be saying, you all love me. I'd just be freaking funny Chrissy, actually. If I was as funny as Chrissy, I wouldn't need to say anything. I'd have the jury laughing. They definitely like her. I think KJ's game has been strategic, but a little passive in parts and maybe hard to kind of, you know, sell to a jury, especially when she was voted out. Like, she played, I think, the most actively strategic game of the three, but has also had missteps that, you know, you could point to if you were an opponent. Shay has been, I think, physical, but has such missteps that you could point to. Like, things like the reward, for example, has been so on the bottom, would have to sell a lot of the physical game, has also been voted out. Chrissy has been in the majority, has had more power than most people, could possibly have, or definitely more than KJ and Shay, could possibly have Josh on the jury saying, like, we were doing it together. Like, you saw me as powerful. She was my co-pilot. I'm sure you would do it in a pilot analogy. Like, you know, so she was, he said in this episode, or, you know, through this week, yeah, I couldn't have done it without you. Like, maybe he's pointing to more of what she was doing. And she's just so likable. Like, if I'm going to overthink it, I mean, I definitely think that the boys are voting for the guy. Like, if Josh and Mark are there, obviously Mark has Sam, but, like, Jordy, even for Mark, like, I really, Jordy, Jesse, Jordan, Dave, Mark and Josh for each other, like, whoever's not there, like, I think they're voting for the other guy.
Yeah.
But then I think, like, if it's of the girls, like, Jordy, Maylee, and Shay, who he kind of had that tight relationship, he's definitely going with the Purga 3, so, like, one of KJ and Shay. I think Jesse has been so tight with Chrissy. Dave, I think Chrissy. Jordan seemed a little tight with Shay. I think Khan, maybe Chrissy of anyone. Like, there are these relationships. Like, if Mark's not there, I think Sam might be on Chrissy. Yeah, I think Michelle's probably going for one of the Purga 3. I think it would be split. I think it would be really, really fascinating between the girls. But I think there are enough relationship votes on Chrissy, just people who like her so much. Like, Jesse had that bond with her. Dave had the bond with her. Sam had the bond with her. Khan was crying about the bond with her. Like, if there isn't such an obvious threat in Josh or Mark next to her, and it's like, okay, now I kind of have the freedom to vote for who I just really like because I'm not so impressed with a game that sits next to her, then I think those relationships maybe come to the fore.
See, and I think that Shay could convince people of the fact that she found her two idols. She had a target on herself and on her partner that was massive. Her partners voted out. She continued to be somebody that wasn't just a passive, like, oh, it's fine if we get rid of KJ eventually. They actively sought to get rid of Shay over and over and over and over. And she somehow lived through most of that, gets voted out, gets herself back into the game. You know, I think there's something to be said for constantly being a target and still you outlast it. Somehow. That's amazing to me. And that's how I feel about Heather from my season. You may not see it in the edit, but she was a constant target. People wanted her out over and over and over again, and she made it to the end. If she had made it to Final Three, I'm voting for her to win. Like, so that's just my gut reaction, I think that KJ has a better argument and has better moves to bring up to the final jury. And I could see Chrissy being more lovable. I think it's just hard because I can't think of a move. She kind of reminds me of Xander. Like, I can't think of a move that either of them initiated that came to fruition. And that's where I struggle. That's why I didn't vote for Xander. I want a move that you can say, I came up with this. Not only did I come up with it, I rallied the troops, pulled it off. And I can't think of a single move like that with Chrissy, even though I love Chrissy.
Mm.
But I also love Xander. He's one of my best friends. So, you know, that's where I have my hesitation with Chrissy. But relationship wise, I totally see what you're saying. And I see that she could get all of the votes based on her friendships. But that would only be a little disappointing to me because I also want a little bit of gameplay in.
I would enjoy it because I think the games that she would be standing up to, it wouldn't feel like a robbery. Like, for me, I feel like Shay also doesn't have a move to point to. If anything, a good tribal council performer could really exploit some of the mistakes that Shay has made. As you're saying, like, thinking Ben would be pulled over, like, just giving over the idol when she, like, later needed an idol. I mean, it definitely speaks to the kind of player that she was, but, like, this reward thing of being, like, how... Mm-hmm. little agency she had, like, that's something that you could point to, and maybe someone like KJ could. She did also get voted out, like, that's another thing. I think KJ has the most moves to point to, mm-hmm. but then also did get voted out. Like, I don't think that KJ's strategic game has been, like, so impressive that to see a relationship game like Chrissy, even for, like, a, you know, hardcore strategist, like, that's what I value in the game. I don't think KJ's strategic game has been so much better or than Chrissy that it should win over a powerful relationship game where Chrissy has had an incredible social game, like a better social game, I think, than KJ has had a strategic game. Like, if we're starting to kind of, you know, judge it by those metrics. Mm-hmm. So, and I also think, like, there is strategic stuff that Chrissy has had better than the other two, not being voted out, like legitimately voted out, as Shay and KJ were. And I know KJ was on the double, but, like, she has been part of the majority. She has been part of the power. It's, you know, maybe not such a important part of that power, but she has been in it. She was correctly in the five. She doesn't flip, but she's, like, in that group. She really is with Josh. And then it's like, how much can each person speak to why this is the final three? Is KJ saying, I've been the one pushing it? Because that could really cap off, had the advantage. I voted out my sister and I put this final three of women together. You guys are doing the all boys thing because you were scared of us. Well, you should have been scared because here we came, you know, and here we are. And I did that. Can she speak to that? Or does Chrissy turn on Josh and she speaks to the fact that she's the one who made it happen as a swing vote? Who is taking credit for the fact that the three women sit there? Everyone's worst fear and nightmare, that entire jury's nightmare of these three women sitting at the end, which it would be, who can take credit for that? I would love it. Just for that reason.
I feel like I don't allow myself to even think of Chrissy winning because it seems too fun and good.
It's hilarious.
I feel like I'm always disappointed. Like, my least favorite of those three women in the final three are Shay. And so I feel like I just automatically go to, oh, wow, probably Shay then. That's why, that's what my gut reactions are always like, who I don't want to win.
Mm-hmm. yeah. It's hard as well.
Be amazing.
Yeah. Like, it's tough because you have to think about the jury and it's going to be, then it would be all the boys on the jury. So has Shay won more, you know, Shay will have won more challenges depending on how the next couple of challenges go. If she can really get in another couple of challenge wins as well, maybe a final challenge that's really impressive or something like that. Are the boys impressed by that strength? Like someone like Jordan, who we've also seen talk to Shay, for example, someone like Jordy. Jordy's voting for one of KJ or Shay, I think, like really trying to get that Purga 3 thing. I think what's also hard for KJ and Shay is that Jordy took up so much space about being the underdog. Like they all got voted out and they all came back. And actually KJ like had the advantage and made the move to wrestle it back. But Jordy, I think, made all the noise about being the underdog. So I don't know how much the jury see that Shay and KJ have had similar journeys, similar rollercoaster journeys of being the underdog, which is usually so easy to sell to a jury, just because Jordy was kind of taking up all of that real estate. So how much can one of them try and assume the new underdog position and sell the story that Jordy would have sold to a definite winning game, I think? Again, standing ovation at Jury Villa. That underdog winning game is there for him. Can KJ or Shay come in with a similar argument about like the way that they were on the bottom and fought to survive in their own ways, physically or in the advantage with KJ? I think there's stuff there.
I always get bummed with what people consider an underdog story. Because to me, and this might just be being narrow-minded. I consider an underdog story being circumstances that you have no control over. So your starting tribe, all the people around you, like everybody else having advantages that you just didn't even have the opportunity to get. As you thriving through all of that, you're the underdog. Now, when you make missteps like Jordy made to be an underdog, I don't consider that the underdog story. And so I always get like, KJ is the better underdog of those two because her sister put her in this situation. Like, all like, and she had to fight her ass off to be like, I swear, I'll even vote her out. I didn't do it. You know? And I don't want Jordy to be my underdog.
But he is like, I even like someone tweeted like, Jordy's not the underdog. Like, whether you like it or not, like Jordy is the underdog. And like, for sure, he put himself in that position. He played both sides. He got got. And then he's been fighting from the bottom. It's actually so funny how your own mistakes can be something people want to vote for more. Because you have to fight so hard to make it. It's like, but why were you in that position to fight? And that's the thing, is like someone like Chrissy's game, or even Josh against Jordy, or maybe Chrissy against Shay or KJ, isn't seen as flashy. It's like, well, Chrissy was in the numbers, so she didn't have to have the fighty underdog game. Josh as well, like, was it as flashy? No, it didn't need to be as flashy because he just like dominated and controlled. And that's worse because it's not as fun and you don't see it. It's not as visible. But 100%, I think most of the time you're an underdog. You probably did something to be there. Like, even Shay and KJ, like, Shay didn't manage her threat level or didn't ingratiate as well socially. KJ as well, like, has been socially on the outs. Like, they have to cop to that to a degree. Jordy clearly made, like, strategic missteps, put him on the bottom. But then you have the underdog story to speak to. So it's definitely counterintuitive that being on the bottom and fighting is often what juries want to see more than controlling and, like, having that power. But people love an underdog. Whichever way you get there, they are the underdogs. And that is a really easy story to sell. So I'd be interested to see Shay and KJ try to sell it. I do think, Mark's getting there and winning with a more dominant game. That's how I would see it. But
fingers crossed. I'd love to see it. Fingers crossed. Come on,
Marky. We'll see. Let's get to the penultimate chizzy. Sam has already won the chizzy. Tweeted out the charts. I have to send her a mug. I sent you a mug. You get your mug?
Yes, it is next to my buff collection and my Witch's Coven mug.
Okay, because no one else is allowed to use it. It's like a trophy. Like, it's just your mug.
I used it one time. I washed it, used it one time, put it on the
counter. You can use it. No, I just, because Sam said, like, Mark can't use it. I'm like, yeah, he didn't win the chizzy. I'm not drinking out of that mug. Like, you won the chizzy. So, but we still have to give points. So take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Color.
One, two, three. It's getting kind of chizzy. Three, two, one.
All right, so I think my 3 points is clear. Josh was amazing this week. I think he got so much done. I think he had so much power and control in a week that I didn't think anyone else would stood out amazingly well. I think he's in a great spot, and I'm really upset that the edit has kind of robbed me of seeing him as a winner contender from the get-go. So only miss has been the idol lie, and as stated, let's never talk about it again, not believing about that idol. So painful for so many weeks, but made good decisions somehow around that. So definitely 3 to Josh. I'm going to give 2 to Chrissy. Somehow these are her first 2 points, which makes me sad because she's so great, but I'm glad it's finally showing up on the charts for that consistent game, for being there with Josh. He says he couldn't do it without her. I think as a pair, they're super powerful, really innovative, I think, to help him with the challenge and kind of have that active gameplay where people aren't looking at you as much. The girls want to work with her. She gives value there. They're not targeting her. The Purgatory could have stayed together possibly and, you know, taken her out and maybe, you know, march through the rest of the week in some way, but her not being an option either through them kind of looking at her maybe as a good person to sit next to, but again, I think it's quite open for the girls, or just by her being that asset to people and her relationships. Either way, they don't go for her, and I think that to a degree, with all the other internal stuff that's happening, helps to crack the Purgatory that we're together for just that 1 week. So I think there's power in that. I'm going to give her 2 points. The one is really hard. You know, KJ's taking swings. I love the women's thing, but I need to see it come off. I haven't even seen Chrissy be part of those conversations. And I think it was a little messy, wrong read on the revote. Obviously, Shay's manipulated. Dave was doing good stuff, good read, but went home. I'm going to give 1 point to Jordy, a memorial point. Just for that first episode, like that relationship with Josh and consolidating that at reward and manipulating Shay to get him there. Like, again, pros and cons, super transparent. But I do think that connection that he worked on for so long came off and saving him in that first vote, and just like the work he was putting into that bond with Josh got him through that week. So I'll give him a memorial chili point. And where are your votes going, Ricard?
Okay, I'm going to give 3 to Josh because Josh made some great moves. He put himself in a position that he's willing and shows loyalty to the other side while also being a solid number to Mark and Chrissy on the original side. I think he's just playing a pretty good game, even though the edit doesn't show it. And I've been confused at some points. But, you know, I'm very, very happy for his game emerging. 2 points to Chrissy, even though I do think it was a misstep for her to be helping Josh so publicly. But in the end, she does, like you said, have the relationships that she's still in a safe spot. She still is seen, however she is seen, that people want to keep her in the game. And that is getting her further in the game. I do think, since we can give points to people that are out of the game.
Oh my gosh. We're giving one to Sam.
No, can I give it to Juicy?
Yeah, definitely.
I think Juicy has had a read on things from the very beginning, even though I don't think it's necessarily the helpful reads and the gameplay that I would love to see from a player. Him calling out Sam is what I immediately go to, that one tribal council where it's like, she's a social butterfly. She's doing this. Mm-hmm. He had a read on her. It upset me, and it made her game hard for a second, and then it created that live tribal, but he has had a read on things. That being added to with this advantage read of Jordy and what he did and how he was riling up some emotions with Chrissy and with Shay and KJ, I think he just has a very good read on people and situations. Maybe not the game, but situations. And I would love to give him a point for that.
Yeah, like he used the emotion that they were upset about the reward for his gain. And it could have worked. It flipped KJ. Like, he did get that over the line, but it was just KJ, unfortunately, because other stuff is going on. But I think that is really impressive for him, and I don't blame him for going against Jordy. Jordy's coming against him. Like, it kind of reminded me of when the cousins went against the brothers. Like, it all happened at the same time. There was just, like, this instinctive read on, like, it's done now. They were coming for each other. They try to make other plans in that. Jordy won with his plans with Josh, but Dave was doing his own thing, and yeah, he did get KJ over the line in that and was also, you know, fighting for that. When Jordy's trying to snow him and be like, oh, be part of it, and Mark just won't play the idol, like, Dave isn't falling for that. Dave's trying to do his own thing. It doesn't work, but he's not snowed. And I appreciate that. So we're going to have to get Rob's fact checker to let me know, but to get a memorial chili point for 2 people who went home in this week, that might never have happened before. So the charts, Sam won on 28. Now we have Josh up next on 16. Jordy now left on 13. Mark is on 12. Nina left on 9, Jesse left on 8, KJ is on 6, Sandra left on 6, now Chrissy is on 4 with our 4 points, Michelle left on 2, Khan left on 2, and David now also had 2 when he left. So those are the charts. Congratulations again to Sam, our chili winner. And we have some JLP tweets, if you'll indulge me, Ricard.
Yes.
Take it away, Bradley Pines and Will from America.
Watch as you scroll, a JLP's on a roll. It could be punishing logs or guys tugging on poles. What will he say? It could make your whole day. The show's not complete without a JLP tweet.
Okay, so JLP tweeted, I don't know if you saw this, he tweeted a photo with Jeff Probst, and he said, caught up with the man at Jeff Probst today, hashtag double trouble. Did you see this photo?
Yes, I did.
This is CGI, right? Can we talk? Because everyone's like, oh my God. I'm like, they're not together, are they? Like that
they are
is
together.
A green screen. They are together.
But it is a green screen. So there
what
is a
park. Please tell me what's going on.
Okay, so there was a follow-up photo that JLP posted saying, oh, people have tried to debunk this. And then he showed the altered photo, which is him in front of the palm trees. And then the original photo where there's a car behind them. They're in a parking lot. The license plate is from California. So they are both together in California. Okay. It is CGI, but it is real.
All right. Because even Jeff looked Photoshop, but I guess that's just what looking like Jeff is, because he is a vampire who still looks that good. Because then I did a photo of me in front of my Jeff Probst cutout. I have a life-size Jeff Probst cutout. And I was like, I'm with JLP too, in like the same pose as Jeff. Because I did not think that was actually Jeff. Like, I thought that whole thing was a Zoom background.
I think JLP lives in California.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
It just looks so fake. And I think I'm traumatized by Zoom backgrounds because of, like, our reality. I just assumed that it was. He tweeted, Chrissy, imagine that. Jonathan in a day spa and Survivor. Break the internet that. Bah, ha, 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 ha. She is hilarious. I feel like if Chrissy won the reward, JLP would have to come out like dressed as a waiter and serve them, right? Like,
yes, he absolutely. I think he's playful enough that he absolutely would have done something cute like that.
Yeah, and we missed it, Shay. So strategically, and also for us, just saying, painful. But Chrissy really thinks that JLP is going to be on the reward too. Like, she hasn't seen the show, so. I feel like the JLP is feeling it too with Chrissy. Like, maybe she's his whole pass. And, like, he would be so lucky, honestly.
Okay, get it.
He says she is hilarious. He tweeted, "You played a juicy game, Dave, in the name of your daughter. I'm sure she's proud as punch watching you give it one hell of a squeeze."
I love his little, like, puns. They're called puns. I love his puns.
Yeah, I mean, he did say was it worth the squeeze, so I'm glad we got that done in the course of the season. Yeah, his little like final things. I did not have it on my bingo card preseason that Batman and juice were going to be the two things that we were going to. I did not think that that's what we were going to be just discussing for the next 2.5 months of my lifetime.
And like, so even when we started hearing Joker, I thought it was going to be more cards references, like an ace in the hole.
He did do that. Yep, he did say that. Yeah.
Like, and then it became Joker and Two-Face. And then when Mark said Dark Knight, I was like, I'm sorry, miss. What?
Mark Knight. 100%.
Mark Knight.
And then Josh made like a flip a coin reference. I'm like, are we just doing this now? Like, what are we, what do we do? I mean, we knew that Juicy was going to be a thing pre-season. Because we talked about it in the preseason podcast. Even with that knowledge, I wouldn't have thought the juice would be what it became. Like, truly, this is a fever dream. And we just don't talk about it enough because we've accepted our reality.
But so he had that nickname before the show, right?
No. He came up with it. Oh, I actually asked, I'm not gonna spoil it for the exit because that's already out. But yeah, no, he came up with it. Well, it started happening from the first tribal council. It became a huge thing that wasn't huge. Like, we did hear parts of it, but like really the audience was not in on it, at least for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then he made an Instagram account called The Official Juicy Dave. And now I've said juice more in the last 2.5 months than Janine Ellis, who runs a juice business. Like, why am I talking about juice? This isn't even the season with Janine. Like,
I know.
The season with the juice queen. Survivor flight attendants versus juice related people. That's where we might be. We've got Dave, we've got Janine.
Yeah, get Janine. I love Janine. She's
a beast. Do you have Boost? Do you have Boost in America? Yes. We spoke about this at the time probably.
No, I don't even know if it's the same Boost I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of like the Diet Chocolate Shakes Boost. I don't think I'm thinking of smoothies.
I don't think that's right.
Like herbs. So yeah. We got a different kind of Boost here.
Right. I think that Boost is international, but I don't know if it's in America. We definitely had this conversation 3 years ago. Why is so much of Australian Survivor about juice? Something needs to be investigated. He said, Chrissy stubbing her toe is a perfect metaphor for Survivor. Sometimes it's a game full of nasty surprises. A couple of things I want to ask you. As someone who's been on Survivor, did you stub your toe a lot? And also, is that a perfect metaphor for Survivor?
Stubbed my toe, but there is actually a pretty epic moment where Jeannie stubs her toe on a tree stump after we blindsided Brad. And she loses her shit. I mean, just swears, says fuck and blah, 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 like goes off on us, says we can make our own goddamn food. And then she storms off into the jungle in the dark by herself to fill her water bottle. Stubbing her toe ruined her game, like her night. She was wild. I never stubbed my toe. And
what a gift.
I know.
And then, I mean, is that a metaphor for Survivor, though?
No.
I guess it's like you have to be able to recover from things.
I feel like anyone can from a stub toe.
Well, Jeannie did it. That's what I mean. Look, yeah, you never know.
You know,
yeah,
we hugged but, a few, like an hour later, so she recovered.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that it's a metaphor for Survivor, but I do, obviously, stubbing your toe is like the worst thing that's ever happened. I agree. Like, it's a horrible thing. So, poor Chrissy. Some questions from the listeners. Lauren Doyle asks, oh my God, yes, a true icon about you, Ricard. She says, please ask Ricard if he could choose to compete in a challenge from any Australian season, which would it be?
Ooh, I know exactly what it is. Now, I don't know if I would want to do the single player or the two player version, but when they're hanging on the pegs and they have to move, like pull out a peg that's like numbered or colored.
Yeah.
So you have to like be able to still be on the wall, but pull out a peg and stay on.
Yeah.
Love that. I would love, love, love to play that game.
What about charades?
No, I would not want to do charades. I don't like being embarrassed. That's why I actually did not search for idols for the first like 3 days of the game, because I was embarrassed at the camera crew people seeing me search for idols and not find them.
So you wouldn't like stand up and talk about the ghost of Jesse and then like nullify
no I would be way too embarrassed.
Just take the idol and run. I just want to get back in my seat. Jessica Frey asks, is there a chance that Survivor AU actually took from Survivor 41 and took their winner edit for Erica and applied the same to potentially Josh or KJ, especially with the pre-merge having an obvious emphasis on the Queen and Princess Nina and returning players?
You know, I guess I could see that, but I would hope that that's not a desire. I just want to, I want to watch the stories that are actively happening. I don't want there to be constant misdirect so that we don't know what's happening. It's one thing to leave out other people from the story because they're just not applicable to what's going on. Like, if you're not doing anything, I understand you not being a part of it necessarily. But I don't want people just being left out so we don't see it coming that they win. So I would hope that wasn't an intentional thing that was taken from Erica's at all. I also don't know if that's even necessarily Erica's edit. I feel like all of her moves were made. I think where the misstep was, they didn't show who she was as a person, and she's a really great person. She's funny. She has the great relationships, and they chose to leave that out. I do think if Josh was a winner, they are purposely, then that edit would actually be leaving out moves, because I still don't know how he's the kingpin when he's called the kingpin. So if that's I never had the perception that Erica was a kingpin. So if they have that perception, then clearly something is missing, and that would be very different. I don't think they're the same thing. If
I think KJ would be a better comparison, in that it's been like more quietly strategic in the way that Erica's was, and I think Australian Survivor might struggle to tell that story. Although I think they still could tell it better and would tell it better if she won. I think for someone like Pia, who was such a social winner, they played that up a lot, but Pia has like, she's an actress, like she has the kind of drama to sell that. And she was a silent assassin in Confessionals, even with maybe a quieter strategic game and having definitely a more social game that they were able to show in that way. But I think maybe KJ's like quiet strategic game would be difficult for them, but they would still do better with it. I think that like the Erica comparison for me has been like, I always thought one of the biggest misses was not setting up her relationship with Heather at the very least. And I think for us not seeing Josh and Chrissy and how tight they were and hearing about it in Juryville or Exit Press or whatever people were talking about it, and that was like the first indication we got of this really tight pair, that for me is a comparison. But I do hope that there's a middle ground for all survivors. An Australian Survivor, like it was refreshing that it wasn't Sam, because as much as I wanted Sam to win, like the edit of the last few seasons has shoved the winner down our throat, and that would have been Sam. And none of these people are that edit.
Yeah.
But there is such a chasm between shove the winner down our throat, make it so obvious, and don't even show it or not even have us connect with that person, which for a lot of these players left would probably be true. So there's a win on giving us more of like a subtle thing and giving us more options for the winner. But then there's also the loss on, but don't conceal the game. Just like show more games really, really well. And then when one of them wins, it's surprising because it could have been several people, but it's not confusing because we still see their game. Like that's what you want. So for me, from a game perspective, I think Josh and Mark are leading it. Then I would say Chrissy, because I think she'd win of the women, and then KJ and Shay for me in that order. From an edit perspective, I think definitely Mark, then Shay, who's been quiet but consistent, and I think they would struggle to tell that story. So it's actually probably been how you would tell it if she'd win, I think. Like, I don't think, maybe what you're saying, like, Erica, like, I don't think we missed a lot. Like, I think we got it, but it's been a quieter game. Then Chrissy, who's been obviously the big character. Like, I understand why she got all the content she did, because she's hilarious. It's not necessarily a winning edit, like George, for example. It's more just, like, the character edit, but she's definitely been there. Then I think KJ, who they've struggled to tell the story, but they've definitely told it badly. And then I think Josh, where there's just no excuse for the fact that it should have been a big game for them to tell. It's the kind of game they love to tell, and they still didn't. So that's how I'd order it in terms of winner edit chances.
Yeah. Got it.
And that's how we're looking at the final week, which is crazy. We've been, you know, watching this show for our, what's been years, what's been absolute years of watching the show. And Ricard, you've been covering it every week. Still so impressed that you were stuck with it, even with not having it on Paramount Plus. It's so amazing. And you've been covering it every week. Where can the listeners find your content and what you've been putting out with all of this?
So it is everywhere, but mostly, like, please go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, subscribe, follow, drop your buffs. It is not differentiated from, so there are two versions. We have the American and the AU version, but they're all under the umbrella of Drop Your Buffs. I really am proud of what we do. I'm proud of how Sean and I banter. We are like best friends, so that helps. And we love Survivor. We do have an Instagram, Drop Your Buffs Podcast. You can find me on Instagram, Ricard Foyer, and on Twitter with Ricard Foyer as the handle as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for interrupting your trip in Mexico to talk Australian Survivor with me. So much Survivor going on for me as well. Subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed as always. Follow me at Shannon Gates. Exits Are Out with Dave and Jordy. Definitely check those out because we got a lot of insights, I think, from both of them. We talked about throughout some of this recap as well. Talking Tribal is out with George, Haley, and James, as it is every week. Next week, we'll have Nick and Mike, as always, on the finale podcast. Try and place this season, place a winning game, just talk about all of it. Template articles are all there, as you know. Memo, thank you, everyone who's been buying memos. To Kylie and Eric, got a couple of memos I wanted to shout you guys out specifically. For Survivor Global, US Survivor, I did the Stockwatch with Taryn, which was so fun. And next week, I have Australian Survivors, Phil Ferguson for week 4. Also want to shout out Crime Scene, which is a new crime podcast on the reality TV Hap-Ups with Mari Forth and Sarah Carradine, and that's a really exciting new addition to the Rap family. But yeah, thank you so much, Ricard. This was such a good time. I feel like we broke it all down, got a good sense. The Chrissy win is coming next week, or Shay. I don't know what we're getting with this. Probably Mark, but there are a lot of options, and it is fun that I don't know that anyone is fully ruled out, which is really, really, well, from an edit perspective, from a game perspective, they've all got a shot. We're going into a big final week, and I really appreciated getting your insights into all of it.
Thank you so much.
We had such a good time. All right. Thank you so much, Ricard. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And I will see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor
is there.
Survivor
New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give them the swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million
shkel. 1 million rubli.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe
spoke.
The Shaiva top
there. Tribe spoke.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.